Very excited, by the way. We have one of those smart guys on the show coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk to Josh Giegel or Geigel. I'm not sure. We'll find out. He is the Senior VP of Engineering for Hyperloop One. They did that test in the desert a couple of days ago, and apparently this is the thing that one day is going to help us travel 700 miles an hour on the ground. Very smart people.
Planes go, what, 500?
I think so.
Miles an hour, maybe?
Yeah, really? Yeah. This is amazing technology, and apparently the first test went well, so we'll find out all about it coming up in minutes. First, though, Kevin, you got a cautionary word about eating dog food for us.
Well, Serena Williams did a Snapchat, and then it got put up on YouTube. And she tells a story about traveling with her dog. Her dog's name is? That's right, Chip.
Oh, Chip.
That's her dog.
That's a great name.
And she's on the road a lot, as you can imagine. She's one of the best tennis players in the world, if not the best.
The best, yeah.
And you would think also that she would have to watch very carefully what she eats.
Well, that's what was my first thought is, isn't her body a temple?
Right.
Like you would think that she would be one of those people that have a full-time chef that travels with her to make sure she only eats exactly what her body needs at whatever point in the training she's at.
Well, she does go to really nice hotels because they have a pet food menu.
Ooh, all right.
So obviously a lot of people bring their pets, and the descriptions sound fantastic.
Sure.
So this is her story, and this is what she put up on Snapchat.
I just ordered him the salmon and rice, and tomorrow he's going to have the soup. Chip, ready for the doggy menu?
Right, Chip.
Son, Christopher, good boy. Another one.
If I could just jump in and say, if there's one thing I've learned in all the years I've had dogs, it's that they sure love soup.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard soup, I was
like, it's weird, right? It's soup.
All right, so she continues.
Okay, so the best thing about Snap is I don't have to hear anybody hating or just like trolling. Because
she's about to say something that she knows she would get a lot of response to. And on Snapchat, you can turn all that off and just put it out there.
Because I think this is something you definitely want to hate or troll on. So they have this menu for my dog, right? Because Chip left his food. Can you imagine? Chip is 3 years old, and he's been traveling for 3 years. The little guy leaves his food at home. He doesn't pack food.
Now, is she being funny? Because the little dog didn't leave the food at home and travel on his own, right?
Right. It's not really his responsibility to bring food.
Bad dog, you didn't pack food. What? What are you talking about?
So, this hotel has a doggy menu. And on the doggy menu, it has soup. So, yesterday he had the beef with chicken and vegetables.
That sounds pretty good.
Nice, yeah. Sure.
And I promise you, I was like, that looks so good. It was like fresh, like greens and boiled chicken and beef, and it was seared. It was seared like tenderly, and it was just perfection. And I was like, that looks like the best food. Looks better than my food, right? So today I'm like, I might want to taste his food, so I order him the salmon and rice because I thought I eat salmon.
Okay, so now she's at least keeping it in the family. She eats salmon.
Sure.
Which is super healthy.
Right.
So she ordered the dog salmon and rice.
So I ordered the salmon rice. Before you judge me, look at it. Look, that's the salmon and rice. It's kind of all mixed together, right? I mean, come on. It looks good. I think
all
it looks good.
Let me ask. She's awfully defensive for somebody who voluntarily put this on Snapchat.
Right. She's not, but you can't see the fact that she's smiling the whole time. Like, she knows this is absurd.
What's about to happen. Yeah.
She knows exactly what's going on. She knows what people are thinking. And that's why she's like, look at it. It doesn't look so bad, right?
And how'd it look?
Not good.
Not good.
It just looked like a bowl of rice with some salmon in it. That's all.
But it looked like something you could eat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, when I take the food to go, they give me the same to-go package. So I figure it's the same package. It comes with an expensive-looking spoon.
Okay, so now she's rationalizing eating the dog food because they give you the same package to go.
Okay.
And there's an expensive-looking spoon.
Okay.
Why would they give you a spoon if it's not for humans?
Right.
Right?
I put some in his bowl. I'm like, what the heck? I'm going to try a piece. It looks good. So I eat a spoonful. Don't judge me. I eat a spoonful.
She's already so defensive.
She really is.
Don't judge me. All right. So I ate dog food. So what? How did it go?
Let's fast forward to 2 hours. I just ran to the toilet like I thought I was going to pass out. I mean, it did taste weird. Like, I force swallowed it. Like, it was a little I don't know.
So how would you describe it? What would you
like? It tastes a little bit like a house cleaner kind of thing. I don't know what they put in these dog food, but Chip liked it and it looked good. But I don't think it's consumable for humans. And they should have wrote that
right.
So now I feel really sick. It was just a spoonful,
right?
And
okay.
I really don't feel so good.
All right. She said they should have wrote that. Yeah, didn't they write that when they said, hey, this is the dog food menu? Didn't they kind of already handle?
More clear.
Really?
More
they should have put not for humans on it?
You won't like this.
Right. She was joking about they should have wrote that, but seriously, eating dog food.
Well.
I mean.
Well, what?
I mean.
Well,
you know,
what?
Who has it?
Well, I've tasted it once.
Yeah, that's all.
And then I just go, you know what? No, that's not for me. That's for pets.
You, especially she's traveling. She's in a new place. Hey, I haven't had this before. Let me check this out. Make sure this is okay for Chip. I get why she did it.
She wasn't doing that to make sure it was okay for Chip. Nothing in that said it.
Tasted
she said
like.
It looked tasty.
Why do you suppose she had such a violent reaction to it and it's fine for the dog?
Why do you suppose she tasted it to make sure it was safe?
I'm trying to figure out why she had so many problems with it.
Right, and I'm trying to figure out why you think she only did it to see if it was safe.
Just to make sure it's good. It's there's nothing wrong with the food. You taste it sometimes just to make sure it's
Bean.
And when you say you mean
Bean. I've done that a few times.
A few times?
I've done that
to make
fairly
sure
frequently.
What?
Fairly frequently.
To make sure that it's good, that the food hasn't spoiled or that it's warm enough or that it, you know, just tastes good. That's all. Yeah, I've done that. I've never Snapchatted about it, though.
You shouldn't.
It's private.
It should be private.
All right, I have a question for you guys, and this is a sincere question. You know how you see people doing jobs and you go, thank God somebody is willing to do that job because I'm not. And I don't care what that job is. I mean, maybe it's a dentist. Maybe it's a guy who repairs sewer pipes. But God bless the people who are willing to do the awful jobs.
That's
right?
Why, even not the awful job, that's why I over tip waiters and waitresses.
Because it's a tough job.
Yes,
tough
because
work.
That's a tough job. They got to deal with people, and dealing with people sometimes sucks.
Yeah. And I even think about it, even for the people who don't have to deal with people, the people who are sitting in where you pay to leave a parking garage
a
and
toll
they just
booth
sit
or something?
In there underground for 8 hours taking money.
Yeah.
I think, what an awful job. Who does these jobs? Well, I have another job to add to the list, and I'm asking a sincere question here. Why would anyone want to be Santa Claus?
Oh. I mean, I assume most of those people need the money.
And that's probably true for most jobs.
Because don't you feel like most, especially if they're a repeat Santa, they're mm-hmm. there because they love the kids.
Yeah.
But the kids, some of the kids and a lot of the parents mm-hmm. can be nightmares.
I just can't imagine how – now, I have less tolerance for little kids than most people do.
By far, yes.
But I cannot imagine how awful it would be to play Santa. And by the way, for folks who are listening, for little ones who are listening, there is only one real Santa who lives at the North Pole. But because Santa is so busy, he has other people who play him and speak for him. So that's
unless
why
you go to the mall to see him, and then that's actually him.
And that's the real Santa at the mall, right? So I know it's very confusing.
Right.
But trust us, the one you see is real, but there are other ones around like ringing bells on street corners that are fake. But I mean, here's what it's like. Here's what it's like being Santa.
Dear Santa, I heard the mall is hiring extra security to protect you. That's a bitch move, Santa. I'm coming for that ass again until you pay what you owe. Sincerely yours, the Santa Stalker.
I mean, that's just one example of the kind of abuse you have to survive if
terrifying.
You're playing Santa Claus. We thought it might be fun to hear from our Kevin-A-Mean listeners who have been involved in bringing kids little, you know, joy at Christmas time. People have played Santa. People play Santa's helpers.
You have to get people in line, and everybody
get people in line.
Be patient, wait. Wranglers,
the wranglers, right? The people who take the photos, the Santa photos. If that's you, if you're one of the little assistant elves, that's part of that operation. We want to hear from you. I don't know what we're going to get, but I'd be willing to bet there are lots of adorable and cute, heartwarming moments that happen as well. That's not what this show's about.
No, please.
This show's about how
we're looking
awful.
You peed on your leg. That's what we're looking for.
We're looking for the kid. The kid straight out stabbed you. That's what we're looking for.
Wow.
So Santa's helpers, elves, wranglers, photographers, anybody involved in the Santa process, we want to hear from you what your experiences were like with the little monsters, or as Kevin said, the parents, too.
Maybe it's your job to deal with this person.
Now, you can't hear her, but she showed up at the Dufferin Mall in Toronto over the weekend and started screaming that that was not the real Santa. You know, do you have a sleigh? No, you don't. You're not even real. On and on and on. By the way, there's another video going around yesterday of a guy at the freaking North Pole, Alaska, who is doing the exact same thing. He's going out of his way to stand there and scream in front of all the little kids that that's not the real Santa.
I hope they've got, like, Trank Dark set up to where they can just put that person down for, like, an hour. Give them a little nap for an hour and just drag them outside the mall.
That's where I draw the line at free speech, by the way, is when you start telling little kids about Santa. So how awful is the job being part of that? 1-800-520-1067. Let's grab Lane real quick, Murrieta, get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Lane.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. You were Santa?
I play Santa each year.
Okay.
Oh, how about that? So tell us the psychology of that.
Well, we have in the city of Murrieta, we do what's called Santa runs, where we basically go through the different neighborhoods and we collect canned goods to give to the needy. And with that is Santa and his elves, and we get to go and see the kids. And I will tell you that it is an incredible experience.
Okay.
To be able to see the kids and see their faces light up because they're getting to see Santa, and it's not perfect, but for all of the unenjoyable moments, there are many, many great moments that make it worth it. Aww.
I'm very happy to
That's
hear
good
that.
To hear because I assumed that it was a nightmare. I did. I just assumed it would be, you know, 70% bad, 30% good. You're saying it's the other way around.
I would say it's 80% good,
all right.
20% not okay.
And when you say not okay, is this kids that are just, what, they pull on your beard, or they're abusive, or they won't listen to what you have to say? What do they do?
Well, probably 10% of it is our parents who want to have their kids out there, who want nothing to do with it, and they're scared of Santa, they're scared of sitting in some guy's lap and getting a picture taken.
Oh, the kids are, you mean, yeah.
And the parents just really want to have a picture. And then there's 10% of that who are kids who really, I don't think they really believe in Santa anymore, but they are just there to make our life miserable.
Hey, what are the instructions? And I'm so glad you called, Lane, because I've always wanted to know this. What are the instructions about what you're allowed to say? If the kid asks for something, you have no idea what the circumstances are. Do you automatically say yes to everything, or do you say we'll try, or we'll see, or we'll check with your parents? What's your response to the kids?
I try to, you know, make sure that the kids, that the parents are right there and they're listening, and you can kind of see on the parents' face this look of horror if that's not something that's going to happen.
They're shaking their head no.
or kind of the smile and shaking their head yes. And you just try and go with it, and you've been a good boy or you've been a good girl, and we'll see what Santa could do. Or, you know, and there's a lot of times kids that parents are there looking for what their kids want because the kids have written a letter to Santa or they've done something. The parents like, I have no idea what my kid wants.
Oh.
Can you please find out for me? And so you'll get the kid who'll say, whisper it, and you know, they'll get down, and then you'll kind of, you know, have an opportunity to tell a parent, hey, this is what they said they want. So, you know, it serves a couple of different purposes.
That's very cool. All right, last question. Was it awful for you and all the Santas when Barack Obama made it illegal to say the words Merry Christmas in this country? Remember when he started sending people to jail if they said Merry Christmas?
Never said that. And he's
really, that's what I heard.
Never said that.
I heard from a guy.
You know, the interesting thing is that I am the past mayor and former council member in the city of Murrieta, and I can tell you right now that I will always say Merry Christmas because that is my choice, and it is everybody's choice to say what they want to as long as they enjoy their time, their family, and have a wonderful holiday.
Good for you.
USA! USA!
Merry Christmas,
USA!
Santa. Thank you for calling.
USA!
We really appreciate it, okay?
USA!
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You were or are Santa or Santa's little helper or the elf, or you're taking the pictures or you're the wrangler. We want to hear your experiences. When we return right after this on K-Rock.
Kind of shaky.
Let's talk to Jen, Huntington Beach. By the way, didn't even think about all the people playing Mrs. Claus. Mrs. Claus,
hi.
same problem, same yeah. kids, right? Jen, welcome to the show. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Merry Christmas. Yes, I was Mrs. Claus and my boyfriend was Santa Claus in the Newport Beach Boat Parade. So they said, you get a ride on this multi-million dollar yacht. It'll be really fun. And we were volunteers. But then there was these parents with this whole soccer team of little kids on this multi-million dollar yacht.
Yeah.
And the parents got super drunk and the kids were tearing up the yacht. I had a break up a kid's fight. These little kids started punching each other in front of Santa and Mrs. Claus on the deck of the boat. And I had to go, hey. And the parents weren't even paying attention. I had to pull them apart and break up a fight.
Wow.
And then when we were changing later, we were taking our costumes off. They were ripping the hatches off the boat, literally tearing up the boat, trying to say, you're not the real Santa. And none of the parents were even doing anything at all.
So a little hip check into the water, a little hip check for the kid, right?
Never doing that again. Never.
That is fantastic, Mrs. Claus. Thank you so much for sharing your story. 1-800-520-1067. You were part of the Santa industrial machine, and it went bad. We'll take your calls after the Killers on K-Rock.
More updates on the fires as they become available, probably in the next 15 minutes. We'll give you an update.
We have a reporter scheduled to speak with us in a few minutes, Kevin. Margaret Guerrero from KNX, who is at the overpass on Sunset over the 405. Kevin was driving in this morning and had a unique excuse for being late, which was that the Sepulveda Pass was on fire.
And that was shocking. I mean, I knew the fires were sort of in Sunland and they had moved in from Ventura a little bit, but I didn't realize they were this close.
Yeah, it's pretty serious right now. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking about your stories about being Santa, being Mrs. Claus, being Santa's little helper, being an elf. Is it a nightmare when you deal with all the kids? Listen to this one from the 404. I dressed up as an elf when I managed a honey-baked ham store, and we were having a Santa event, and the parents were so out of their mind that one threw a 9-pound ham at my face, and security had to step in.
Don't throw ham at Santa.
No.
He was an elf.
Don't throw ham at an elf.
Nobody woke up this morning thinking that that was going to happen. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Our friend Jason is on the line, by the way, from Van Nuys. We actually talked to Jason on the show before. He wrote a book about being a Hollywood clown. And Jason, you've also participated in the pageantry of Christmas as well, it sounds like.
Yes, every year. Especially because I have blue eyes, so a lot of people request Santa with blue eyes.
Is that right? They make it that specific?
Oh, yes.
Those Aryan devils, right?
So tell us about it. I mean, we spoke with somebody in the city of Murrieta who has done it for many years and says that it's about 80% good to about 20% dicey. What was your experience?
I would go 70% good. 30% dicey.
Okay, so still in the positive. All right, good.
So what did they do? What did the kids do?
Tell us about the 30%.
Well, you know, you have the kids that will come up and, you know, and hit you with candy canes and tell you about how bad their parents are and then how they want to kick you. And
they would complain to you, Santa, about their parents?
Yes. I had one kid tell me that his parents didn't love him because they smoked, and he asked them not to smoke, and they don't love him because they smoked.
That's heartbreaking. That sucks. All right, tell us something funny. We don't want that. We're not looking for depressing, for God's sakes, dude.
Well, you know, I was doing a Santa one time for the Paramount party that they do every year for their employees, and they had me on a sleigh in the middle of the sun. And it was 80 degrees out that year.
In the middle of the sun.
Oh, it was just, we're out, like, there was no shade.
Oh, man.
And so the kids were also in this long line waiting to have their photo taken. And everybody's getting fabulous, but they're like, oh, to everybody's energy up, let's give them candy. So they were feeding these kids full of, just pumping them full of candy and Icy's. And sure enough, you know, the kids, they get their nerves going. And if they don't want to sit on Santa's lap, they're crazy anyways. So then, you know, they come up and I'm like, you know, they're like, just sit on Santa's lap. And I will tell them, you know, oh, it's okay. Santa's, you know, nice. He just sit on his lap and tell him what you want. And this little boy gets on my lap and said, oh, are you okay? He goes, my tummy doesn't feel.
Oh, nope. No, sir. Santa got a gift. Nope.
Santa got barfed on.
That's awesome.
All in my beard.
All right.
All
heard enough.
Thank you, Jason. We appreciate the call.
I'm going to say heard enough of that story.
Getting vomited on by a little kid when you're Santa. Yeah. All right, real quick. Let's talk to Tony Upland, line two.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. You were Santa.
You were Santa.
Yes. So about 15 years ago, I was probably about 18, 19 years old. I worked at a portrait studio. And the big thing during Christmas is getting pictures taken with Santa.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, just the day that we have it scheduled, our Santa ends up calling in sick, and I'm the only guy in the portrait studio. So naturally, I'm volunteered to be dressed up as Santa. So mm-hmm. I'm sitting there. I go through the entire day. I end up taking a break, sitting down, sweating my butt off in the Santa suit. And a lady about 80 years old walks by, gets in really, really close to me and whispers, you're the first Santa in a long time I've wanted to sit on his lap. And I didn't even know what to say.
Right? How was she?
She was pretty old.
She was pretty old.
If I would have been 70, 80 years old, I maybe would have been interested.
All right, thank you, Cody.
This isn't Santa supposed to give them what they want?
Yeah. Let's actually talk to Phil in Long Beach so we can go out on a positive.
Okay,
because
good.
I think we're going to enjoy Phil's story. Thank you so much for calling and for holding on. You're our final Santa. Tell us about your experience.
I actually used to work for Target, and they had me dress up as Santa a couple times during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
But they would bring in groups of special needs children, and the feeling when you would see their face light up, it was just awesome.
That sounds great. So we've been asking all the other Santas, what percentage good, what percentage bad in this particular job?
It was probably 90-10. Occasionally you'd get ones, they'd come up to me, Santa's not black.
How do they know?
Yeah, how do they know?
Right?
Exactly.
Well, I would tell them it was kind of like the movie The Santa Claus. I got the jacket, so I'm Santa Claus now.
There you go. 90-10. I think that's as good as we're going to do. That's a Christmas miracle. Thank you, Phil. Merry Christmas.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Happy to announce the return of the Lumineers to K-Rock. They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space next week, April 4th. I want to say that sounds like Monday,
yep.
Maybe? If you want to win passes to see the band up close to the Red Bull Sound Space and also tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl in October, listen to K-Rock all week long to win. Your chance coming up in about 10 minutes or so from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Allie. You ready?
I don't know. You said you had some audio to play for me. You won't tell me what it is, and I'm nervous.
I feel like this is the type of thing that you will enjoy, and I just posted a picture of what we're about to talk
Uh-oh.
On my Twitter account, @ClydeTumbaugh, if you want to check that out first, and then I'll play the audio for you.
Okay, hold on. People love that. Oh.
Did you just throw up in your mouth a little bit?
Yes.
All right, please enjoy.
Why did you do this?
Please enjoy.
Hi, guys. Welcome to my channel. I'm Dr. Sandra Lee, also known as Dr. Pimple Popper. I'm a board-certified dermatologist in Southern California. And this channel is all about showing you a window into my world as a dermatologist. And what I'm going to try to do is post all different kinds of videos that have to do with the skin. Hopefully, you'll learn more about your skin and what to look out for. You'll also see a lot of the procedures I do in the office as a dermatologist. And along the way, of course, I'm going to post blackhead extractions, cysts being popped, lipomas being removed from the skin, because I know you guys love them, and I love that you love them.
Okay.
So
Dr. Pimple Popper has a very popular YouTube channel that debuted last summer.
No.
And she has millions of fans around the world who like to watch the things that she talked about there. Popping, extracting blackheads, popping cysts.
Nope.
And what's the other one? Lipoma? What's the other one? The other one that you get when you get the big bulge on your arm? She pops these things,
and
people like watching them. What's that about?
Wow.
Right?
Like seeing actual like pus stream out and
yes.
like, no.
People find that weirdly satisfying.
Oh, no.
And you're about to hear
no.
people who are really into it. You can't believe some of the stuff on this channel. I unfortunately spent more time than I'm comfortable with last night on it, trying to figure out why people are the way that they are.
Don't forget to subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at Dr. Pimple Popper. Enjoy.
Okay, so she that's the setup for whatever video. Okay. Now, here's a fan letter that Dr. Pimple Popper recently received.
I know I don't introduce all my videos, but I wanted to introduce this one because it's a special day. It's Valentine's Day. I think I have a very special video for you.
By the way, nothing says Valentine's Day like a red-hot blackhead extraction. Am I right?
You're right.
And I also wanted to read you this email that I got from a fellow Popaholic. So here goes. Hello, Mrs. Pimple Popper.
Yes, by the way, they are called Popaholics. If you're somebody who enjoys watching somebody get the pimples on their back lanced on an internet video, you are a Popaholic.
I had originally written a very, very long post about how me and my fiancé met. I spoke about how the chances of us meeting, me being from the UK and her being from the US, were very slim. I mentioned how I managed to get the courage to travel to the States to visit her last summer, and how I managed to follow my heart and ask her to be my wife, which she accepted, I'm delighted to say.
Well, you're going to find out why these two were meant to be together.
Want to know how I knew she was the woman for me? Well, it's because we both adore your channel. So I got to stop here. That's crazy. They love a pimple popping channel. That is so awesome.
Can you imagine, by the way, how that comes up for the first time when you're dating a new person? Like, how do you bring up that you're into pimple popping videos?
Oh,
and God. How much does it rock your world if the other person comes back and says, me too?
I'm single. I just want to point
that
out.
These people are not. These people are together and happy.
Like,
the fact that I found a woman that not only tolerated the satisfying popping videos I like to watch before I go to sleep.
Wait a second. What? He likes to watch satisfying pimple popping videos before he goes to sleep? How does that get the job done?
Why'd you do this to me?
How is this a relaxing thing for people?
Maybe it's not so much relaxing. Maybe what he does while watching it then relaxes him.
No, no, no. I'm not suggesting that.
Are
I
you
hope
sure?
You're not. I hope you're not suggesting that.
People are gross.
But the fact that she enjoys them even more than I do was the last straw. I had to marry this woman. Anyhow, fast forward 9 months of wedding preparations and visits back and forth. I write this email thinking of her Valentine's Day gift. I was wondering if I could get a signed photo or something from you for her to frame.
Okay.
Maybe a jar of pus. This is awful. Why are you doing this to us?
So this is a couple where the guy is asking a dermatologist for a signed photo that he can give his fiancée for Valentine's Day. Because Dr. Sandra Lee has meant so much. By the way, are you telling me that John on the phone is a Popaholic? We're going to have to get to him in a second. Hang on.
I'd like to do better than this. I really want to dedicate this special Valentine's video to the two of you guys. Congratulations on your future wedding. Of course, I'm going to send you a bunch of Dr. Pimple Popper swags. Now, this video is very special for Valentine's Day because it has to do with the love between a Popaholic wife and her husband.
Okay, so listen to her set up the video of a wife that, well, you'll find out.
This gentleman has actually been in here before to see me. He had a pretty big lipoma on his forearm that we removed. But his wife wasn't available to be present during that excision.
Oh,
so
she couldn't
sad.
Be there, Allie. She couldn't be there to see him get his lipoma
What's
removed.
What's more important, lady?
Right?
So we arranged the next time he came in that his wife could take the day off work and come in to watch this procedure. And actually, it was very romantic because
what?
He allowed his wife to pop out the lipomas for him.
And
I think she got the biggest kick out of anybody in the room. And I just think it shows what true love is.
It does show what true love is.
It doesn't show what true love is.
Because she got to pop the lipoma on his arm. She got to, that's the picture that I tweeted, by the way.
She took the day off to do that.
That's the picture that I tweeted. That all that pus that's coming out of there, she squeezed it out. Those are her hands in the gloves. All right, let's talk to John. He's in Whittier. He is a Popaholic. John, what are we missing with Dr. Pimple Popper? How is this a thing?
I don't know. It's just, it's a thing. It's interesting to watch. Some of the videos are crazy. Some of the reactions that people have during the videos are pretty funny to watch.
But why do you want to watch pus
coming or blackheads or whatever coming out of a stranger's skin. Why? What is appealing about that to you?
I don't know. It's just it's weird.
And your wife is into it also.
Oh yeah, she's more into it than I am.
Could that become a problem?
She watches videos all the time.
She watches the videos. I mean, does she subscribe to Dr. Pimple Popper's channel?
Oh yeah, we both do.
You guys like a pop squad?
Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate that. Let's talk to TJ in Torrance.
Why are there more people?
There's lots of. By the way, I have the audio of the wife popping the lipoma. I'm going to play for you in a second. But let's get T.I. or TJ on the phone first. TJ, welcome to the show. What's going on? Are you a papaholic?
I am not, but my wife is. I showed her this video one time, and she just got obsessed. She watched it for like an hour, and I'm like, "What are you doing? Why are you still watching this?" Then she went online and bought one of those little things that they pop these zits with,
like a blackhead extractor.
Exactly. Yeah. She chases me around with it now, trying to do it to me.
This is so bizarre.
It's
to me.
So bizarre. Now, does she watch them because she's funny, or because she has an interest in medicine, or because she thinks they're gross? She can't look away.
I mean,
like, what's going on in her head?
She's a nurse, so that might be part of it. But I also think she just likes, like, she likes cleaning my ears. She likes when I get a sunburn.
She likes. What's happening?
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's talk to Jennifer real quick. She's in Lamita. She's another papaholic. Jennifer, thank you for calling. Can you explain what the attraction is for watching other people have their pimples popped?
Yes, I can. I love you, Bean. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you for calling. But we're really mystified by this one.
Oh, hell yeah. It's the best thing ever. And I've been down with this stuff since before it was on the internet. Like, my friends are always like, get off me. I'm like, no, you have something right there. You let me get it right now. Like, it's so, the best thing. It's so awesome.
You enjoy popping zits on other people.
Oh, God, Allie. You have anything that I can get at? Yes.
So, like, the best case scenario for you would be to find and marry a man with tremendous back acne. That would really make your day.
Actually, my girlfriend doesn't. She has really clear skin, so maybe if you could find me someone.
Okay, all right.
This is taking a turn.
Yes, it has. All right.
So good.
Thank you, Jennifer. By the way, Amy and Redonda Beach says she loves it because the end of every video is like a little surprise. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to play this video. So this is the one that Dr. Lee was talking about the woman who was sad because she missed the last time her husband had a procedure, so she wanted to come along and she wanted to do the actual popping, and here's how that went.
This feels kind of weird.
Weird, like you can sit. Come on over here. Come on over here. She's so cute. Look at her. Okay, so you really just want to get under it and just push up, like push up and wiggle around. Squeeze it. Can you grab the top of it?
Yeah.
There, now push, push, and wiggle, push, push.
This is her trying to force the pus out of the incision.
And push. Come closer. Okay. She's just for the part where it's popping out. Okay. There you go. You got it. You got it. Okay, let go for a minute.
Yeah.
Keep your arms sterile here.
Yes.
How was that? Was that good?
A happy couple right there. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the YouTube channel, Dr. Pimple Popper. Allie, I know you'll never be able to resist. Hey, all this week on the program, we are giving away tickets to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, including next hour and the hour after that and the hour after that. So stick around for that. Or you can win them in person from our good friend Ralph Grumman, who's going to be live this Thursday at Universal Studios Hollywood. Where do you play? Your Globe Theater. Is that where you are, Ralph?
That's where it is. Yeah, you go right up. You go from the Frankenstein parking garage. You go up the escalator to the Globe Theater, which is right near the Minion ride there.
Mm-hmm. And it's the KRO Boo Dead or Alive Blood Drive this year. Once again, we are asking you to please help your fellow citizen and donate a little blood and get a great prize for doing so. Tons of prizes, not only those Universal Studios Halloween Horror Night tickets, but lots of KROQ gear, tickets to KROQ shows, and more starting at 5 a.m. It is different this year in that there's no pre-registration, no sign-up early. So first come, first serve. Go on down. Be sure to say hey to Ralph Garman. He'll be broadcasting live all Thursday morning long at Universal. All right, are we ready for your favorite feature?
I mean, it's not my favorite feature.
It should be. Here's your chance to show how you know what's going on in the news, Kevin.
It's time for Kevin Mad Libs. Kevin Mad Libs the news. Oh, what will he say? Kevin Mad Libs the news. His brain's puree. Kevin Mad Libs the news. Can't remember today. Kevin Mad Libs the news. Oh, what will he
lot of people, myself included, have made fun of Kevin over the years for being out of touch. But I'm starting to think he's the smartest person in the world for not watching the news.
How much less stressful is his life?
Smartest man in the world.
He's just going, doop, 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 doop. There's no worries.
But I'm not watching 24-7 of all bad news on TV.
Right. That's our point.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we're driving
I'm
home.
The smartest person in the room.
We're driving home from work every day furious about the injustices in the world around us, and you are oblivious to them all.
And we're driving to work worried about getting to work on time every day. That's another thing he saves out on.
Overrated.
Exactly.
I never thought I'd say it, but I think Kevin has figured out how to beat life.
All right. Let's see what Kevin knows about what's happening in the news. Big news this week when it was announced on Fox News. That one of their broadcasters will be back on that network for the first time since his firing to promote the latest in his Killing book series. And that broadcaster, of course, is...
Fred Fredson.
Fred Fredson. Right.
I used to love Fred's show on Fox.
You got that one right.
Can't I think of another word than Fred? Anything else, right? Come on.
Turns out Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is the big name for Fox News. He'll be returning to that network for the first time.
He writes books about killing?
Yeah, he's got a long historical fiction with the killing line of books.
Like Lincoln. Killing Lincoln.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I got Jesus, all of them, yeah.
Right.
Jesus.
Now that's one of his books.
No. Jesus is my answer.
That's not the question. Tonight, big premiere on television. NBC will start its true crime series, Law & Order True Crime, about the Menendez brothers, famous killing couple, whose first names, of course, were...
Johnny and Larry.
Johnny
wow,
no
Fred?
Close. Johnny and Larry Menendez.
I used the Fred last time, Bean. Oh, sorry.
What are their names?
Lyle and Eric.
I would have never gotten
You
that.
Wouldn't know Lyle and Eric
no.
Menendez?
Sometimes.
How many times did we hear Lyle and Eric Menendez during
sometimes
that trial?
After you say the answer, I go, of course I heard that, but right. I don't know Larry.
It wasn't a local trial, so
okay.
I
wasn't big you, news Alex. In L.A. No.
That lasted 2 years.
Yeah, right, so you're I can fine.
Thanks, all of you.
You wouldn't get that. Hey, big anniversary today. Today's the anniversary of the very first televised presidential debate, which of course was between Kevin.
It was between Bill Johnson and there's just literally
you can't think of any names
of presidents either, by the way.
Jim.
Bill Johnson and Jim. Mm.
All of Kevin's Bill names Clinton. That he pulls
yes.
are white guy
that
names
that
from
is,
the 50s. Have you noticed that?
It's true. Look, I don't... Especially Fred Fredson.
Right.
It was between John F. Kennedy and Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Okay.
Were the two combatants in that debate. First ever televised presidential debate.
But you were close.
I mean, not really.
Rough day for Anthony Weiner yesterday. He was sentenced to 21 months in prison. For trying to convince a high school student to undress and touch herself via Skype. That was bad news. A lot of people are speaking out about this. We have not yet heard, however, from his soon-to-be ex-wife and longtime Hillary Clinton aide, Kevin.
His ex-wife
his
was...
His soon-to-be ex-wife. We have not heard from her yet. She was a longtime aide for Hillary Clinton, of course, famously. And her name is, of course...
Shireen. Don't like it.
Shireen... Don't no, like
look,
it.
You those, said to say what comes to mind.
Those are the lyrics of Rock the Casbah, Kevin.
You told me, say whatever comes to my mind. So that's what I'm doing. Those are actual lyrics?
Shireen, don't like it.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's a win.
I had no idea it was from a song.
I don't know why. I don't know why it comes to my head, but...
All right.
Another list of the world's most valuable brands.
Hold on. Give Kevin Huma's name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Huma Abedin. Huma Abedin.
That sounds familiar, though, right?
You've not heard that name in the news.
No, I have not heard that at all.
You've heard Huma Abedin.
I don't think so, ever.
You've never heard the name Huma Abedin.
She was Hillary Clinton's right-hand lady for the campaign.
I don't think I ever heard her name. Okay. I mean, you could argue that I did hear Eric and Lyle. Right, that's their names? You could argue that I heard that, of course.
Well,
but
I think you've heard Huma Abedin.
I don't think I have.
That name was bandied about quite a bit. Quite a bit during the election.
Not by me.
And also involving her husband, Anthony Weiner, and all his
agreed
troubles.
Agreed to disagree.
Because she pretty much been in the news. Another list of the world's most valuable brands was out yesterday. Forbes put out their list. And the number one most popular brand in the world at the value of $184 billion is...
Mountain of Dildos.
What?
Or...
That is my Apple. Favorite brand. Apple. Apple. Oh. It is Apple. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, it was there.
And lastly, God boy, you gotta feel good for this Meghan Markle, actress Meghan Markle. She has just got the most supportive man in the world. This very popular gentleman stopped by to visit her on the set of her TV show Suits. And, of course, he is a member of the royal family. Her boyfriend is... Kevin?
Prince Larry.
Prince Larry. Very close.
Yes.
Prince Harry.
Harry.
Prince Harry. You're very, very close.
Again, win column.
At least it wasn't Prince Fred Fredson. It could have been worse.
That's true.
That's Kevin Matt Lives the News.
Kevin Matt Lives the News. Oh, what will he say?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Allie, am I lying if I say we have been looking forward to this since the minute we heard this book was coming out?
About a month ago when we found out we could have Virginia, it became the Virginia Countdown.
It became our obsession.
Yeah.
The book is available at all retailers now and online. It's called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rockstars. She is Virginia Grohl, or as we know her, Dave Grohl's mom. Welcome to K-Rock, Virginia.
Thank
How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm great. Thank you.
We're so honored to have you here, and especially because, you know, Dave has been coming on this show, the Kevin and Bean Show, for well over 20 years now.
That's
and
what he tells me.
He might be our favorite guest of all time. And I think there can't be any higher praise for a mother to hear that your son is loved everywhere he goes. And I'm sure you never get tired of hearing people talk about what a nice young man Dave is.
I don't. And I just know how right they are. He is just more fun to be around than anybody, isn't he?
He really is. I mean, and you talk about, you know, this book is so wonderful, and we'll get into some of the stories that you learn from other moms who raised successful musicians. But the stories that you tell just about Dave growing up and starting to fall in love with music and playing in the various bands throughout the years, it doesn't seem like the success has changed him at all, and it seems like his attitude is always so positive. And, of course, he's human, so that can't be true. But what do you think the secret is to how he enjoys his life so much?
Well, I think it's pretty basic, and that's that he set out just to fill his life with music. He just loves music. So when he says... He gets to go to the office every day, and it's a studio, and he gets to... Nobody works harder than these guys, that's for sure. It's not like it's all a good time, but they just love that they're surrounded by music, and they're creating it and working on it and then sharing it, and I think that's pretty great. It's a nice life.
Yeah, I mean, they do always say if you can find a way to make your passion into your work, it'll never feel like you have to work because you can enjoy yourself every day.
Not everybody does that.
Did you see a thread with the moms that you talked to? In this book, by the way, you interview Michael Stipe's mom and Miranda Lambert's mom, Kelly Clarkson, Dr. Dre, the Beastie Boys' Mike D, Rush's Geddy Lee. The list goes on and on and on. Did you come to any conclusions about those families that produced those kinds of musicians?
Well, there was no way to say, oh, now I can tell which family the next rock star is going to come from, because you can't really tell from the backgrounds or from the places, from anything except the habits of the kids. And the facts came together as I didn't do research, and nothing's scientific here, but the ones I met and the ones I talked to, all pretty much fell into line, and that was that at between the ages of 12 and 13, they declared that that's what it was going to be. It was music. It was all about music. It would be music forever. Just stay out of the way.
And as a mother, how do you separate that, okay, that's their passion, let them do it, versus the, oh, but they should have something to fall back on? How do you
separate
the two?
Well, we all did it differently.
Yeah.
And we had different approaches, and different mothers gave in at different times.
Right.
But I must say that's what happened ultimately. It was a stronger force than we were. And so... we all had different battles with it. Some said you've got to have something to fall back on, routine, and that was resisted.
Sure.
And it, most of them had also had, you know, we had seen their talent. They all picked up their instruments and instantly played them.
Yeah.
So they weren't typical. It wasn't typical. I think I might like to sit down with the guitar a little bit. It was an urgent thing.
And immediate talent. I mean, that's one of the things that surprised me about some of the people that I didn't know the backstory of, like Kelly Clarkson, hearing how musically gifted she was as a toddler. Geddy Lee being able to play piano by ear at almost the first time he ever sat down in front of a piano.
Yes, just listening to it.
Yeah, it's shocking how talented these people were. And was it particularly tough for you, Virginia, because as somebody who values education so much as a public school teacher for all those years and years and years, when your son comes to you and says he wants to drop out of school, that must have, it must have taken everything in you to accept that and support that.
Well, the facts are a little bit different. He was dropping out of the school where I was teaching. We all went to school every day in our little blue Ford Fiesta, and my daughter and son and I were, and it was the smallest high school in the county at the time. And so we were all right down the hall from each other. So I saw him many times during the day. I knew all his teachers. I knew what was going on a daily basis. And I had also known that there were 10 years behind him of going to school every day and not enjoying it and not thriving. Mm-hmm. And I knew how smart he was, how full of energy and joy and creativity he was, and I kept waiting for the schools to see that. And so
it just wasn't a good fit for him.
It wasn't anywhere close to a good fit. And I stopped blaming him and just kept saying the schools should maybe come up with something here. Or why? And it was a good school system, and that it was also failing him. And that's how I felt. I really feel like the schools are failing a lot of these budding musicians and all kinds of other kids who have something that isn't just going right down the mainstream norm.
Right. Not everybody needs to get A's and then get into a good college to make a successful or a happy life.
I thought at that point when he said, you know, I want to go to Europe with Scream, I realized he'd be touring Europe at 17. And, you know, next week he'd be in Paris playing a show. And I thought, okay, and I'll be here in my classroom reading T.S. Eliot again for the 100th time. And
so who wins? Who wins
exactly.
In that scenario, right?
Save room on that bus for me.
Well, you made the right call. Virginia Groller is our guest here at the Kevin Bean Show. Again, the book is called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. You get a chance to see Virginia and Dave in conversation. This is going to be tomorrow night at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Now, the way this works, this is a wristbanded event. Wristbands be distributed starting tomorrow morning at 9 with the purchase of a pre-signed copy of From Cradle to Stage. So you get Virginia's autograph, and then you get to be in the room at the Barnes & Noble when she and Dave talk about the book and the life that they have shared together. We have many more questions for you, Virginia. Please stick around. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
All right.
She is not only a Dave Grohl's mom, she is now a best-selling author. The book is called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. You wrote every word of this yourself, Virginia?
Indeed, I did.
3 years of your life doing this book?
3 great years. It was a lot of fun doing it.
And you got a lot of new friends. We're going to be talking about the moms of some of the people you met, like Geddy Lee's mom and Dr. Dre's mom and Randall Everett's mom. I wanted to ask you one quick question before we have to play a song, and that is, you told a story in the book that I had not heard before that I thought was so amazing. Dave's on tour in Australia with Foo Fighters.
Yes.
But there's something going on back at home that he also wants to attend. What happened?
The annual daddy-daughter dance at his daughter's school. And that's no excuses. That's a must-attend situation. So he ran off the stage in, I think he was in Perth, and got on a flight, commercial flight, put a blanket over his head and went to sleep for 14 hours or whatever
is,
if you can sleep on a plane for 4 and came back and put on his jacket, took one girl on each arm, went off to the dance. They danced with both of his girls, took them home, kissed them goodnight, and ran back to the airport.
Aww. Got on a plane, went back to Australia just in time to get on stage for the next night's show.
Right back for the next show.
Mm-hmm.
Miss a beat.
Is that unbelievable? As a mom, though, do you look at the kind of man who would make that sacrifice for his family?
It still makes me so tired just thinking about it.
But I would think your heart would just swell when you hear that's the kind of commitment a guy would have to his family, right? It's a beautiful story. Any fan of Dave Grohl will want to read this book, and we have so much more to learn about it. Stories from the mothers who rocked and raised rock stars. Virginia Grohl is our guest. We'll talk more right after some Fall Out Boy here on the World Famous K-Rock. I'm not going to lie. Virginia Grohl in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, headbanging to Fall Out Boy here on K-Rock this morning. That actually gives me a great opportunity, Virginia. You and the other mothers of famous and successful musicians that you talk to in your new book, at some point, was there any kind of a generation gap where you realized, hey, I support you, Dave, I love you, Dave Grohl, but I hate this music that you're playing all the time around the house or the band that you're in? When he started out as a punk rocker, were you down with that?
Well, I've got to admit, I didn't understand all of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had no idea what they were saying. I didn't understand one. I guess they had lyrics. I don't know. Mainly, they screamed a lot. But and this was what Mike D's mother said, too. We recognize the energy, and we recognize the transfer of the energy from the band to the audience and back and forth and that kind of thing going on. So we saw that thing happening.
The connection was there.
Yes,
right.
Yes. And that's very exciting when you see that transfer going on from – those were – you know, those days, those little punk bands, little tiny stages and then big crowded spaces that the tiny stage was in. And besides that, the band Scream, I don't know if you know anything about them.
Yes.
But they go way, way back, and they're still playing. I saw saw one of their shows about a year ago. But they were
and you're still friends with all of
yes,
Dave's
and
old
I,
bandmates.
Yes, and I knew them then.
Right.
And so I had to trust in them that when he was going off with them, everything would be okay.
The disconnect for me of all the moms you talk to in the book, mm-hmm. and again, it's a wonderful book called From Cradle to Stage, available wherever books are sold, was what it was like for Dr. Dre's mom,
yes.
who was, you know, a very classy, sophisticated, smart lady.
Yes.
And then the shock that must have happened when she started hearing those early NWA records, thinking, where did this come from?
She had the hardest time, I think, because it was shocking. But she says this, when she then really looked at it, she realized it's what we've been going through. She understood it was rather more graphically than she would have put it, but she got it.
Yeah, and I think it was Chuck D who said, remember back in the day that rap music is the CNN of the streets, and that's what NWA was all about back then.
Yes.
And she realized that her son was part of a band that was speaking the truth at that time.
Yes.
What did you think of Nirvana when Dave made the transition and switched to that band? Of course, you know, now Nirvana is, you know, it's a magic word when you hear it. But back then it was just another band your son was in. Did you like them right away when you met Kurt and Chris? Did you immediately bond with them?
Well, I didn't meet them for a while because, you know, they were in Seattle. And I was in Virginia teaching. And so he got stranded on the West Coast when Scream couldn't continue. And Nirvana auditioned him. And then it happened so fast. So by the time I met them, they were, the first time I met them was when they came to New York to meet with record companies. So they already were known. I think the first I've heard Nevermind over the phone for
not
the
ideal.
First time. And I thought, wow, this is, I mean, you know, the first time you hear it, it's...
Oh, it's catchy it's, within
and
seconds.
And it's very different. And
yeah.
it's and so I didn't say, oh, I know this is the way of the future.
but you liked it.
But I did like it.
Yeah.
And I was so relieved that he'd found a band to, you know, to be with. And then, as I said, it just happened so fast.
You were there in the audience the night Nirvana debuted on Saturday Night Live. It was one of the great nights of your life.
Yes, indeed, it was. And that whole weekend of, you know, MTV and Saturday Night Live and the whole New York thing, and which I shared with Kurt's mother, and I talk about that in the book too. Mm-hmm. And it was her first trip to New York. Mm. So for her, it was really special.
And it was getting to know her and sharing experiences of raising your respective sons that kind of gave you the idea for this book that, hey, it might be fun to talk to more moms out there.
No, that was way back. And I didn't have this idea until about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was another person. It was Jill Berliner, who was David's attorney since Nirvana. Mm-hmm. And she and I sit together backstage a lot and side of the stage. And we were at the New Orleans Jazz Festival. And I said, I wish I could meet the other mothers. I almost never see any. And she said, why don't you go find them? You should write a book. And honestly, that was it. It was that simple. And
I love that you're backstage at Foo Fighters and you're like, I just wish there were more moms. That's fantastic.
I know. And I'm sure all the rock stars are thinking the same thing.
You talked to Michael Stipe's mom, Adam Levine's, Amy Winehouse, which is a very tough chapter to read. And I'm sure that was a difficult conversation or two that you had there as well. Miranda Lambert, Kelly Clarkson, Dr. Dre, Geddy Lee, Mike D, so many more in this book. I love one of the things, I know we're almost out of time here, Virginia, but I love one of the things that you talked about, which is you knew Dave had found his love and that he was always going to be a musician. That was his passion. You never expected that he would become as successful or as famous as he was, but that really wasn't the point. That's not why you loved that he did it, right? Was that it
never.
Was going to be, that he was going to be a star.
I think about that now. I think I hear kids saying, I want to be a rock star or I want to be rich and famous. And those words were never part of the discussion. And it never occurred to any of us that there'd be any money involved or fame or any of the trappings that mm-hmm. It was just he wanted to play music for a long time.
Well, as I said when you sat down, no one loves Dave Grohl more than the people in this room and the people in this radio station. He has been a wonderful friend to us for all these years. And you raised yourself a good, good boy. And I understand his kids are just as great as he is. So
it's all
true. As a mom and as a grandma, you can be very, very proud. And the book is wonderful, you guys. You definitely need to check it out. Buy it online right now through Amazon or get to a bookstore. And if you want to meet Virginia and Dave, they're going to be in conversation tomorrow night at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Again, it's a wristband event. You can buy your wristband starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with the pre-signed copy of From Cradle to a Stage. And that way you can be the audience for the event tomorrow night. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming in. So nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Continued success, Virginia. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll talk to CNN's Anderson Cooper coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know that we've ever had Mr. Cooper on before.
I don't think so.
Such a big fan.
Yeah.
Love him so much.
Okay.
South Africa is where we take you right now. There is a preacher in the news who has been creating a little bit of a controversy because he's the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings, by the way. Which sounds like an awesome church.
That does sound pretty cool.
That sounds like it'd be a fun place to go to church.
Yeah. Only better would be the church of what's happening.
Exactly. And he is very popular there and claims to have recently visited heaven and taken photos of heaven on his smartphone. Now, Kevin, you may have dived deeper into this story than I did.
Yeah.
Did he die? And then come back to life? How did he visit heaven?
I don't think so. I think he just visited. I think it was just a temporary visa.
Huh.
I think because he's a prophet, he's able just to go wherever, right?
So he could go without even...
Is that how it works?
I just said, right? Like, that's a thing.
Prophet Mburo from South Africa took pictures of heaven on his smartphone, and here's the best part of this article from the BBC. Those eager to see photographic proof of the afterlife will have to open their wallets, though. Mburo has asked those who wish to view the pictures for a donation of about 5,000 rand, which is about, I don't know, $500, right? Roughly? $500-$600 to see photos of heaven.
Right, but where else can you get photos of heaven?
So
right?
In your mind, it's a pretty good deal.
That's right.
It's a pretty good deal.
He so should be charging.
We wanted to find out more about this, so we asked Dave if there's any way he could line it up. And on the line from South Africa, we have the prophet himself, Mr. Embro. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, we're doing fine, but we're a little confused on how the details of your visit to heaven worked out, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry you're confused. How can I help you to understand better?
Well, first of all, did you die?
No, dead would be crazy.
Okay. But what you did isn't crazy.
Who can die and then go to heaven and come back?
Right.
That would be a crazy claim to
but
say.
But who could be alive
only
and go
Jesus
to...
Jesus could do that. I am not Jesus.
Okay.
I am just go to visit heaven, take some pictures, and then come back.
But who could be alive and then go to heaven and come back? That also doesn't exist.
Prophet Mboro.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. How do you pronounce your last name? I'm sorry.
And Prophet Mboro.
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 How did you get there?
You okay? You're choking.
It sounded weird being said.
Mboro.
Again.
What? What's happening?
Don't give him the Heimlich maneuver, because I think he has something got in his esophagus.
Prophet, say it again, please, so that being...
I'm Prophet Mboro.
Mboro.
All right, so it seems like this is a great blessing to have been to heaven.
Well, I am the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings.
Right.
And I have done many incredible things being the prophet of the Church.
Uh-huh.
So I have done many things that seem to be impossible, but are just incredible happenings.
So other than just going to heaven, you've done other things?
Yes.
Like what?
I have healed peoples during the sermon.
Wow.
That I've had.
That's impressive.
I once delivered a fish from the womb of a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
A fish? Instead of a baby?
Yes.
I saw
Why
that.
Why was there a fish in her?
Because the woman had sex with Mike Trout.
You're stupid.
Prophet, it seems like
you're telling a prophet who's been to heaven and taken pictures
that, lady got me stupid.
That he's dumb.
I am not stupid. I have delivered fish at the moment.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Prophet, why wouldn't you share these incredible photos of heaven with your followers for free? It seems like as a minister, it seems like that's something that would be expected.
Listen, they're running a church does not come for free.
Right.
It takes money to run a church, also to give charity to the people who need it here in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And so if I have something of value to some people, like pictures of heaven, then I just it's $340.
Okay.
How cheap are you? Pictures of heaven.
It's a lot of money to look at a photo. That's all I'm
saying. Can you describe the photos?
Is it? How many other... how much do you usually pay for a picture of heaven?
Well, I don't because I'm not sure I 100% am convinced you really did go to heaven. I think
have them right here. It's all the pictures.
Did you get a picture of God?
No. God and I did not get a picture.
Okay.
But I did get a selfie with Jesus.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yes. And he's wearing a man bun these days.
Oh.
I find Jesus. Very disturbing.
That is kind of disappointing, yeah.
But I'm looking at the pictures now, and they're very impressive. I would easily pay $340 for them.
Okay.
Well, give us a clue. What's in these pictures?
There's me with Jesus.
Okay. Right. That's a beautiful photo.
You're not looking at it.
Well, I just assumed, just based on what you've said, it's... cool to have.
All he said was a selfie with Jesus. There's no description there.
Don't say it's beautiful like you're looking at it, because you've not paid me my $340.
All right, I'm looking away. Go ahead, Prophet.
There's a chocolate fountain.
Chocolate fountain?
They have a chocolate fountain in heaven.
Of course they do. That does make sense.
This is Kate Upton serving me boneless chicken wings.
Whoa! That does sound like heaven.
Yeah, right. And this... I like no bones. And that's what I like about the heaven chicken wings. They're boneless.
No bones.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you can choke or nothing on them.
Okay.
But no beer, sadly.
Oh, really?
No beer.
I was so sad to find out.
That's a bummer.
In heaven, they have no beer.
Okay.
That's why we drink it here.
I have heard that, yes.
All the music of heaven is performed by Billy Ocean. It's a picture of me and Billy.
What? That's a surprise.
Backstage.
Billy Ocean?
Yes, at the Heaven Black Theater.
Okay, all right.
And here's, well, that's just a picture of some model's ass I took getting off a plane. I'm sorry. That should
Wait,
not be in there.
You took the picture of a model's ass getting off a plane?
I once took a picture of a model's ass getting off a plane. But then someone said I was creepy.
Yeah, you were.
Mm-boro.
All right, it's about time for the most uncomfortable phone topic we may do all year long here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Is there anything more scarring than, forget thinking about, forget acknowledging that your parents have sex, but seeing it?
Oof.
I mean, you don't ever want to imagine that your parents are people, and certainly not sexual beings. But they are, and you're proof of that. And sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you walk in on the rents doing it. Did this ever happen to you, Allie?
I didn't walk in on them, but I could hear something from the door, and I asked them the next day. I was really freaked out because they were both having a bad dream at the same time. And you could hear them both like, oh, and I was like, that's so sad at the same time. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Good
and you were what, around 20 then?
I think like 22.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was scarring.
We had a video that made us think about this topic, and we knew we'd have to invite your phone calls and your texts right now at 1-800-520-1067. The beautiful thing about this phone topic is that if it ever happened to you, there is no danger that you forgot it. This isn't going to be one of those where you're going to think, I'm not sure if it did or not. I'll have to think. No, you still
remember.
You still remember if you walked in and your parents having sex. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number to call us right now or to text us with your stories. So the video in the Internet Roundup last week is what got us thinking about it. And here's they interviewed 100 people who were telling their stories. And here's just a little taste of what that was like.
And I had heard my mom moaning.
Oh, dear God, that's my mother. That's her boyfriend. Oh, God.
I jiggle on the door, and I'm like, oh, God, it's locked. And then I hear, like, Brian McKnight.
You had the TV up loud. Okay.
I thought that the guy was hurting her. And so I remember getting up, throwing stuffed animals at her bedroom door, yelling at him to stop hurting my mom. I just hear, like, and I'm like, oh, my God.
No, that's not what you think. It's not what you think. Our bed is really bad. You better stop.
And then my mom would cover herself up and be like, don't get on the bed. This is the nasty blanket or the dirty blanket.
Oh, no, we had a love blanket.
The love blanket. Oh, that's what it was.
The kids knew about the love blanket because if the love blanket was there, they could not be in the room.
What?
Yeah, right. Depending on how young you are, I'm sure that your first impulse is always, Daddy, stop hurting Mommy, right?
Yeah.
That has to be what it looks like to you if you're young enough, is that somehow Mom is getting hurt. BuzzFeed did a piece on this earlier. Let me share a couple, and then we'll go to the phones. I caught my parents – this is from Crystal on Facebook. I caught my parents doing it when I was 4. Unable to comprehend it, I thought they were just wrestling naked. And by the way, my mom was totally winning. I wanted to join in on the fun because I loved watching wrestling. So I ripped off my clothes and asked if I could play too.
Oh, no.
They yelled and said, no! Here's Monique. I asked my ex-boyfriend to watch my kindergarten graduation with me on a VHS tape. I thought it would be sweet. Well, it was, and as soon as the ceremony ended, the tape then showed my parents having sex.
Oh, I
was completely mortified and ejected the tape immediately. My ex said, what are you so embarrassed about? Everybody watches porn. And I responded with, that wasn't porn. Those were my parents.
Oh, my God.
Would that make it even worse, by the way?
Absolutely.
Almost than walking in on it would be to find a tape?
Although I think Sarah that's calling could be the worst.
Well, let's find out. Let's go to Sarah Northridge. She's up first on line 2, 1-800-520-1067. You walked in and your parents having sex. Sarah, what happened?
So I wouldn't say they were doing it together. More so, I caught my dad 3 separate occasions handling business on his own.
Oh,
3 separate occasions.
No.
Lock the door.
So we lived in an apartment. It was 5 of us in a 2-bedroom, no locks anywhere.
Oh, man.
Like, Sarah, not even a bathroom lock.
You needed to give your dad private time. You needed to, like, every day make sure to leave the house for a little while.
So I tried. I did. I did. It was awful. But three times, that's his fault. Yeah, it is. Women.
All right. Like, so let me ask you this, Sarah. Was this because I think there are two ways to go. One is you laugh about it and it's fine. And the other is you pretend it never happened and never speak of it. Which one were you guys?
So the first time I walked out and my eyes were burning and there were so many tears and my mom just laughed until she peed herself. And my dad didn't talk to me for 3 days.
Oh, really? Like, it's your fault, by the way.
Right. My fault. You can't control your urges. So then the second and third time, I just was like, really? Really? You need help.
And by the way, not to get too much up into your family's business, but I feel like mom could have been doing more than she was doing, too.
Oh, my God. Bean.
I'm just suggesting that maybe help the man out. All right, Sarah, appreciate the call. Thanks so much. 1-800-520-1067. Your tragic tales of woe when we return right after this on K-Rock. Just ahead of Pennywise here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're taking your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067. You walked in on your parents having sex. Allie, we're hearing from the tweeters, too.
Yeah, a guy, L.A. Hockey Club, said, I was 19, arose such a clatter, I sprang to the window to see what was the matter. It was Dad giving Mom his ladder. Barf. I mean, happy Christmas.
Indeed. I like the way he tells the story, too. All right, let's take a call real fast, and then we'll get back to the music with Pennywise. Let's go to Joe Downey up next, line six. Hey, Joe, what terrible thing did you see that will never be out of your brain?
I saw my dad and my mom doing it missionary style.
Oh, yeah. How old were you?
I was 9.
Oh.
And you just walked into the bedroom, just had no idea about sex education starting that day.
Yes. You know, they were silent. There was no noise, no moaning, no groaning, no nothing.
Well, they were doing it wrong then. Did they say, I mean, you guys talk about it after? Did they have to explain birds and bees and whatnot to you after that?
Nope. My dad yelled, shut the effing door. And my mom says, yeah, son, I need you to knock next time.
Okay. All right. Good lesson learned. Thank you very much for the call, Joe. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, when we come back, we're going to hear a story of Lexi and how she walked in on her grandparents.
Oh, no.
Coming up on K-Rock. Talking about one of the worst days of your life. You walked in and your parents doing it. I promised you Lexi's story. She texted in from the 626. I actually caught my grandparents doing it, you guys. I went to their house. They weren't answering their door, but I knew they were home, and I had a house key, so I decided to let myself in. Biggest mistake of my life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you don't get over that.
No.
All right, let's take Ashley, line 8, please. Anaheim, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Ashley, I already feel your pain. What happened?
Okay. Good morning. So basically, when I was in kindergarten, we had a class bear that we were allowed to take home for the week. We would hang out with the bear, write stories about it, what we did with the bear. The night before I had to take the bear back, I woke up at about 2 in the morning, and I realized, oh, no, my bear, I left it in my parents' room. So, you know, I wake up, I kind of make my way over there, and I knew in the moment when I walked in something wasn't right. my parents were mid-action, and my bear was lost underneath them, and I panicked immediately, and I ran back to my room. They had no idea, so I remember the next day going into the room, getting that bear back, putting it in the bag and taking it back and having to do my presentation. And the whole time just thinking, oh, my God, my bear. Like,
oh, that bear saw some stuff.
Kid to take home.
Oh. Yes, the next kid got the bear having no idea what it had been through. Ashley, I hope you never told the kid who got the bear next,
oh, no.
Right?
Never brought it up to my parents. I just knew that bear.
That is fantastic, but also horrifying. And thank you for listening and thank you for sharing. Let's go to Daniel, Manhattan Beach, up next, line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, thank you for calling. What happened, dude?
So this is a legendary family story with my in-laws' family. My wife is the oldest of 4. They were playing hide-and-go-seek. Middle sister thought it would be a great idea to hide in mom and dad's closet. Mom and dad didn't know what they were playing and just knew the kids were quiet and not arguing, so they sneak upstairs for a quickie.
Oh, no.
Sister-in-law is trapped in the closet from foreplay to finish.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. And you just have to, I mean, you can't, it's worse to walk out of the closet into the room, so you just stay there and just bite your tongue, right?
Exactly, yep.
And upside, she won the game.
talk about it to this day. The others think it's hilarious, but she's pretty quiet on that story.
It actually is hilarious. Thank you for the call, Daniel. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Covina. Up next, line four. Valerie's got a little bit of a different story for us. Valerie, what happened?
Although I have walked in on my parents, and it was awful. This is in the early, mid-90s, and I'm searching my parents' bedroom with my good friend looking for birthday cakes because I want to know what they got for my birthday. So we look under the bed and or between the mattresses, and we find, like, magazines that are worse than Playboy. That's not even the worst of it. We move to the closet, pull out a drawer, and in this drawer, under a bunch of other stuff, there's, like, a drawer full of disgusting adult toys.
Okay.
And you'd think that it just doesn't get much worse. I'm a Snoopy, even to this day, I still have to look through people's things. It's really bad. But I looked through.
How did you not learn your lesson after this day?
I get bored.
It's okay. Really, and what else did you find? There's more.
I looked through my mom's purse. And, you know, again, 90s, they don't have picture phones. There is a Polaroid of my dad's junk up in my mom's purse.
Well, you think it was your dad's.
It was the worst ever. I just...
Allie wants to know if you're sure it was your dad's.
Oh, God.
I mean, Valerie, I hate to put that in your head, but...
But how, I mean, and how would you know?
Really?
No, I guess I wouldn't.
We've just made it so much worse for Valerie. Like, it couldn't have gotten any worse.
I love you guys so much, and you make things worse for me. Why?
Yes, all right. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it, Valerie. You know, Valerie needs to go to one of those places. Don't they have these places now where they can do something to your brain where you can, like, forget painful memories? Like, they help you repress awful things that happen in your life? She brings a lot of it on her.
They help you bring it out.
I thought you could also get things tamped down.
I don't think you want things repressed. I think that's
I think Valerie does, although it's kind of her fault because she's the one who's doing all the snooping,
too. Well, she's still snooping, so it serves her right.
What's Richie texting in about, Allie?
Oh, for the love of God, poor Richie. So 4 years ago, he walked in his house to surprise his parents. He'd graduated college, and there were a bunch of cars parked in the front, so he was thinking, oh, maybe they're having a party for me. But when he unlocked the door, he walked in on an orgy of 20 people, and his mom and dad hooked up with the neighbors on a sex swing. Richie.
Keep doing what you're doing, Richie. All right, I think this is going to be fun, you guys. It could be a disaster. We could go down in flames with this segment, but I think it's going to be fun. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes. Like several of those sound bites are taken out of context. I have no place in the intro for this game.
You're correct. You're breaking up.
I'm not sure why penis slapping has to be involved. All right, Bean makes this guess. I think this is a good one, you guys. And I asked you off air to have your phones ready. If you would please open up your phones to the emoji section of your phone, because Apple has just revealed the 10 most popular emojis among English-speaking Apple users in the United States. All right, so save your guess, Kevin. We're not up yet. So there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emojis, and I thought, you know what? It's so tough to remember emojis and to describe emojis. I thought it might make it a little bit easier for you guys, the three of you that are playing, to be able to have your phone in front of you, and that way you can more easily describe which emoji, because some of them are very similar. Hang on, Kevin. We're not quite there yet. So again, recapping. The 10 most popular emojis among English-speaking Apple users in the United States.
Poop!
I was surprised by some of the ones that are on the list, and I was also surprised by some of the ones that I expected to see in the top 10. But let's see how you guys do. Beer Mug, you're going to be filling in for Ralph Garman today since he's on vacation. Kevin, historically, you get to go first. Let's see if we can imagine what your guess is going to be.
I can't think of one. Nothing's coming to mind.
Poop! No, I'm sorry, Kevin. Poop is not in the top 10.
I'm out.
Are you outraged as well as being out?
Stupid list.
I was trying to think. First of all, it's not a stupid list. It's an accurate list coming from Apple of the 10 that their users use the most. I don't think.
Look at the list again.
I don't think that I have ever used the poop emoji.
What? Yeah.
Not shocking.
I don't think I ever have.
Have you ever used any except for that one?
Do you remember when Apple tried to say it wasn't poop and it was like chocolate soft serve yogurt?
No, sir.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They tried to say it was. Everyone's like, come on, it's poop.
Allie, have you used the poop emoji?
Of course.
Muggs, have you used the
absolutely
poop emoji? Okay. I guess I'm the outlier here, but no, I'm sorry. It is not in the top 10.
That is craziness.
All right, Muggs, I think you're up next.
I'm going to go with the orange angry face emoji.
Mm. No, that's a good guess. I used that one this weekend on some of my daylight saving time posts, by the way. But that is not in the top 10 either. Miss Ellen McKay.
I'm going to go with the crying laughing emoji. So it's only squirting out the sides.
Only number one.
Wow.
Thank you.
The most common emoji. That one even has a name, by the way. Maybe they all do, but this one is mentioned in the article. That is called Face with Tears of Joy.
Okay.
I'm glad they named it because they couldn't have told that otherwise.
Face with Tears of Joy. In 2015, the Oxford English Dictionary gave that emoji the dubious honor of being the first emoji to hold the position of Word of the Year. So it is an immensely popular emoji. You are on the board with 1 point. Kevin, you're up next.
Poop!
Again, poop is not on the list.
Eggplant.
I see what kinds of things Kevin is using emojis for, but no, I'm sorry. Not a bad guess, but it did not make the top 10. Maybe it was just outside at number 11. Beer mug.
I gotta go. The good old thumbs up.
No.
Oh, come on.
Now, that one was a surprise to me. I use that one all the time. But not in the top 10. Miss Alan McKay.
The heart emoji.
Number two, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, guys.
Only number one and number two for Alan McKay.
Deal.
Yes, the heart is correct.
I'm a 12-year-old girl.
Kevin?
I'm going to say the heart emoji.
I just said that.
Already
Kevin.
Covered that.
I'm going to say fire.
Fire?
Don't you even tell me it's not on that list or I will burn this place down.
I'd be surprised if it were in the top 100. It's not in the top 10 at all.
Everyone uses fire, right?
I'm trying to imagine a time I've ever seen it.
Oh.
Kevin has never been more invested in a topic than he is this
because
one.
I'm dead right.
All right, Ralph. Ralph Garman, no. Beer mug, you're in for Ralph.
I'm going to stick with the hand category and go the middle finger.
Oh.
Come on, what?
Miss Allie McKay.
What about the emoji of the face with the heart as eyes?
That is number four on the
How
list.
How is she getting all these?
They're all in my top frequently used.
Are these the top emojis Allie uses or the English speakers?
I should take a look at the list again. Allie, well done. Allie has number one, two, and four. Kevin, you are not quite on the board yet.
Right, because the list is stupid.
Stupid list.
My turn?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm telling you, this one better be on there.
All right.
Thumbs up.
Mirabug already said.
I already guessed that.
Are you
listening to the same show?
I'm not listening at all.
Yeah, when you said heart, Allie had already said that. When you said thumbs up, Bugs has already said that. So we actually needed a different one.
Is poop on there?
Some guy already said poop.
Oh.
Give you one more shot. This is your third guess this turn.
That's good.
The angry face.
I said that too.
Yes,
is he
did.
Serious?
He did say
I can't
that.
Tell
him. All right, Kevin, we're going to skip you this time.
All right. Lips kissing.
No lips kissing.
Eggplant.
All right, Muggs, let's do you one more time and then Allie one more time.
Oh,
and then I'll
man. All right, let's go with the slice of pizza emoji.
No, I'm sorry. That one's just you. It was created only for you, you're the only one that uses it. Allie, you've already won the game, but let's put some frosting on top. What do you got?
What about the little one where they're going and the little heart's coming out of their mouth?
That's number five.
Unbelievable. Everyone she's gotten. This is insane.
I'm a child.
Oh, wait, I have one.
Game's over, Kevin.
I have one.
All right, go ahead.
The clapping hand.
No. That, by the way, I use that one as much as anything, but that is also not in the top 10. All right. Now I have to try to describe what it also is on the list. All right. So the face with tears of joy is number one. The heart is number two. Number three is
poop.
It's a crying face that has two like waterfall.
Crying, like sobbing.
Sobbing is not.
That's number in my four, frequently used too.
That was probably the next one you were going to guess if we went around. Number four is with the hearts in the eyes.
Number five is the one with the little kissy face with the heart coming out. Mm-hmm. Number six is the one where the eyeballs are looking straight up. It's got a straight mouth. It's kind of like a
annoyed,
like rolling your eyes.
No, it's really more. A little bit rolling your eyes, a little bit confused. Here's the one that surprised me the most: the skull.
Oh,
the skull
is number seven. Have you ever seen that?
Well, anyone when somebody says something, you're like dead.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe.
Right, 12-year-old girls, who's with me?
Number eight is another smiley face with pink rosy cheeks. Number nine is another crying face that has the eyebrows above the eyes and the downturn mouth.
There's variations on like three of them.
And then number 10 is the one that I probably use more than anyone, which is that one. It's got the little hand under the mouth.
I have that one as my frequently used too.
So there you go, guys. Those are the top 10 emojis. Kevin, I'm sorry you didn't win this game this time.
But I should have.
As always, you're an outstanding competitor. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Want to see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl this month? How about Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium? We're giving you your choice coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The K-Rock Pick a Ticket Weekend. Get all the details at krock.com. By the way, I don't know if we're giving you their choice. I just kind of ad-libbed that. It's possible that we tell you which one you're going to. But I would check the small print.
Should we look into that
before we start talking about it?
Yeah.
Because I really don't know.
We'll edit that out.
But either way, it's still cool because you get to go to a good show. I'm going to tell you guys something that is probably going to be as shocking for you as it was for me, and that is that Criminal Minds is still on the air.
Oh, come on. People love it.
There used to be a time where there were a whole bunch of these CBS procedural shows, lots of them, including a whole bunch of CSIs, but there aren't many left. Criminal Minds is returning for season 12 mm-hmm. next month. Thomas Gibson is one of the co-stars of that show. You may remember him as Greg on Dharma and Greg back in the day as well. But Ralph brought us a story yesterday that he is in the news. He got involved in a fight at work. And you don't see that very often among grown-ups, do you?
Well, certainly when you think a fight at work, you think yelling.
Yeah.
This wasn't yelling.
Yeah, not physical.
Right. This is actually physical. This apparently was kicking. Here's a report on the story on the set of Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds star Thomas Gibson suspended from the TV series over an on-set altercation. Thomas has been temporarily removed from the CBS crime drama after he allegedly kicked a writer in the leg. Thomas tells ET in a statement, quote, "There were creative differences on the set and a disagreement. I regret that it occurred. We all want to work together as a team to make the best show possible. We always have and we always will." The actor who plays Hotch is reportedly suspended from the show for an undetermined amount of time and hasn't been seen on set in weeks.
Well, she's a terrible announcer.
But she had the hi-hat.
God.
So that was good. The
music changed every 5 seconds.
Apparently, this is a second similar incident for Mr. Gibson on Criminal Minds. Years ago, he allegedly pushed an assistant director and had to attend anger management classes, but he remained on the show. Doesn't seem like he learned much because, I mean, look, I get everybody's there and they want to do good work and I get tempers running high, but you can't just kick a guy because you don't like the script, right?
Mm-mm.
You can't do
that. Yeah, that's weird. That's a strange reaction. Unless they were arguing a lot about it even to lead up to it. Still, right. I don't know how you...
That same thing happened at a news station that I interned at.
Really?
The news anchor, he was live on the air. You could tell something happened when he was reading one of the scripts. Commercial break, boom. He walked from the set into basically what would be the control room, mm-hmm. grabbed the director by the throat, pulled him off his chair, started screaming at him and threw him. But he was not done.
Wow, what?
He then marched into where the sports office was, grabbed a votive candle, and chucked it at that producer's head. Good night now.
And
I was
just started?
Like, what is happening at this station? It was crazy. I've never seen anyone that out of control and in a workplace.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, he didn't come on after the commercial break. They stopped that
segment. Sure, but did he stay employed?
Sure did.
Really?
Sure did. Yeah. Good times.
Well, we thought it might be fun. It's been a long time since we've addressed this. If you got in a fight, a physical altercation at work, what were the circumstances? What went down? And what happened to the participants involved afterwards? I want to know all of those things from you at 1-800-520-1067. I guess most people grow up and out of thinking, hey, the only way to handle this problem is physical.
Well, right? You yeah. have to also just be for your own career. Yeah. Like if you want to keep a job, you mm-hmm. can't punch people. So even if you want to, even if they deserve it, which let's face it, a lot of people do.
Oh, yeah. No idea.
You would lose your job. So you just learn through self-preservation that you can't do that.
So, look, let's all speculate wildly. Again, we're taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. You had a fight at work. We want to hear about it. Let's speculate wildly on Thomas Gibson. Mm-hmm. What happens here with a guy who's already been reprimanded? He's already attended anger management. Is it just he's the star of the show, so he feels like he can get away with it?
I think he's one of the stars of the show, and I believe that this is probably their last season. So you cut bait on that dude.
Mm. But that's Babin saying he probably does that because he's one of the stars of the show.
In his
has gotten
mind,
away with
in his
it?
Mind,
he's
probably.
Allowed. He's allowed
yeah,
because
he's entitled.
He's entitled. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's the guy.
But
yeah.
you can't kick. But you can't kick.
No,
you can't kick a
you
writer.
You can't kick.
I mean, I really feel like that's a rule, right?
It is.
You can't
at
kick.
Least an unspoken one.
It should be spoken. You shouldn't have to speak it. But it should be spoken.
Can you grab firmly by the shoulders and shake?
No.
No.
You can't do that. So no touching?
No
you
touching
you can't
at
grab
all.
By the throat and pick a guy up out of a chair and throw him against the wall?
Wow, you got a lot of rules, man.
And I think the candle throwing should be
yeah,
probably
absolutely.
Said. Don't
really?
Do that. I would think so, yes.
When did Kevin get so uptight?
Also a no on this.
This is not it.
Guys putting up some resistance here. What? Wow.
This?
Okay. That's actual audio from the set of Criminal Minds.
Oh, no.
Yes, that last one was a haymaker.
Right?
By the way, I went through the archives. Here's the last time Thomas Gibson got in a fight. So he's got skills.
He really does.
All right, let's talk to Delon. He's on line 2. Corona, please. 1-800-520-1067. You got in a fight with a coworker, a physical altercation. It's certainly not what you planned on doing when you got up that morning and went to work, but somehow that's how it ends up sometimes. Delon, welcome to the show, my friend. What's going on?
Well, I had an altercation one time when I used to work at a car dealership. I used to sell cars, and my coworker took one of my customers that was an appointment for me, and he didn't tell them that they were there for me.
Oh, I feel like that's a thing at car dealerships.
Yeah, swooping in all the time.
That's how it cracks off over there.
Okay.
So he was taking my customer. I see him out there with him. I pulled him to the side. They asked my customer. He said no. So he gave me a little bit of attitude, and right then and there, I smacked the crap out of him.
Smack the crap out of him.
Oh, all right, now let me ask you this, Delon. Now, obviously, you were very upset, and understandably so. But until the minute that you started slapping him, that wasn't your intention. Like, you didn't go in there with the intention of a beatdown, right?
No, I've been wanting to smack that guy for a long time.
Oh, he's had it coming. All right.
Yeah,
all right. Now, well, then it felt pretty good then,
what
right?
What happened to you?
The general manager pulled me into the office right then and there. And that was it. They let me go.
Gave you a bonus?
Oh, oh wow.
They let you go. I didn't know. Maybe not. Maybe the GM hated that guy, too.
Yeah, I got a bonus.
You don't know. All right.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but thank you so much for sharing, Delon. We appreciate it. Let's go to line 7. You guys ready for a girl fight?
Absolutely.
We got Tiffany. She's in Newbury Park, and she's up next.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hello. So I worked at a car rental place, and my manager kept having me open for him and do overtime, and he wouldn't pay me. So I came back in the evening, walked in, threw my pumps against the wall, grabbed him, shoved his face into the big federal poster that explains overtime and how to calculate it, and I took his nose like I was highlighting and made him go across the part that said, this is how you calculate overtime, and I smacked him, and I said, I'll deny it. If you tell anyone that I hit you, I'm going to tell all our coworkers you got beat up by a girl.
Wow!
Tiffany, that's dark.
You rubbed his nose in
that's
it, literally.
Like that's a dog.
Did you smack him with a paper?
Yes. No, I smacked his head into the wall. Listen, you don't mess with my family. You
right.
don't mess with my friends that I consider family. And you sure as hell never touched my money.
Right.
You hit any of those three.
Okay, don't yell at us, Tiffany. We're on your side, okay? We're not messing with you.
We so what happened?
Tiffany, we love you. We're on Team Tiffany.
What happened?
He quit. And I got promoted.
Oh, wow. My.
So the message here is that violence does pay.
Tiffany terrifies me.
Tiffany terrifies me as well. All right. Is it okay if we say goodbye, wish you a good day, and hang up the phone, Tiffany?
Of course.
Okay. Have we offended people. You in any way?
No.
Okay. Are you going to show up at the building here at K-Rock later today and open up a can of whoop-ass on us?
No, but I might kiss you a bunch if I got Guns N' Roses tickets.
Oh, sorry, you're coming out.
Yeah, disconnected.
Oh, man.
What a shame.
Not the last we heard from Tiffany.
It's too bad.
All right, 1-800-520-1067.
I'm not hanging up. You think I'm an idiot?
What happened when you got in a fight at work? Your call's next on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, Katrina writes in, I worked in human resources at IKEA, and we were suspending a guy because it was a weekend. We couldn't terminate his employment without the final paycheck. He asked what was going to happen if he came back on Monday. My boss was honest and said he was going to lose his job. Well, he got up, picked up his chair, and swung it at the manager. Went right past my face.
Wow.
Security and the manager managed to get him down and handcuffed. Fun times. See, we're talking about fights at work. A lot of our listeners have been involved in that. Happened to actor Thomas Gibson on the set of Criminal Minds, and now we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we try Edgar Compton, please? Line 6 up first in this segment on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Edgar.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thank you. Great, a fight.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm a safety manager at a transportation company.
You're a safety manager?
Yeah, so we were doing our monthly safety meeting, and I work a lot with, you know, owner-operators that own their own truck. And there was these two guys, they've been partners for years, working together, but then we had a new driver come in, and she was a female driver. And one of the guys had offered, you know, to help her out with learn the ropes. Long story short, this guy ends up hooking up with her, and he abandons his partner.
Okay.
So they hadn't seen each other in a few months, you know, because they're trucking.
I feel like we're getting way too much detail on this story. Like,
okay,
so I thought there was a fight at some point.
It gets good.
All right.
So we show up at the safety meeting, and there's tensions I noticed because, you know, he hasn't seen this guy. I'm right here talking about, you know, proper loading and unloading procedures when all of a sudden there's a kick. I see this guy, you know, jump over the desk, kick this guy.
He jumped over a desk at work to kick a guy.
Yes, pretty much front thrust this guy. Everyone starts cheering, fight. The girl jumps in. There's like 2-3 people jumping in. But the funniest part of the story is that the CEO, the owner of the company, instead of helping you break it up, he's there cheering and laughing at this fight going on. And so,
see, I forgot about that there might be some all-out brawls with everybody on the side chanting fight, fight,
I like
fight.
That. Everybody was cheering and chanting
everybody
fight, fight,
cheering,
fight at a safety meeting.
And you know, I got to hold it together because I'm the manager. And the owner, the CEO, is just laughing and cheering on the fight. So that was a pretty crazy.
This is the second call we've taken where fighting at work is cool.
Yeah.
No kidding. I wasn't expecting that. Edgar, I want to come work where you work.
No, that sounds awesome.
Hey, man, I work in Compton, bro, so you kind of know how it goes there, man.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Mike, East L.A. Mike is the one who did the fighting, it sounds like, on this call. All right. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I was doing construction, and not that I advocate fighting at work in any way, but I had a boss that's very volatile, little man syndrome, you know the type. So
sure.
We get into it during lunch break that some scaffolding needed to be torn down before people left. So he made me be the only one in charge of it as we're all walking out for lunch. I said, yeah, I'll handle it when I get back. Well, he tried to block the doorway from me. And as I walked past him, he grabbed onto my shirt and tried to pull me back.
Ooh.
At that point, I pushed him off me and said, hey, don't be. And before I could even say, don't touch me, he swung at me, hit the back of my head. At that point, I just grabbed him and just choked him out. And once
Sweet.
I put him to sleep, I just left him there. And,
once he went to sleep, guys, were those the words I just heard out of Mike's mouth?
What he said, he choked him out.
He choked him out.
I choked him out and just laid him there and told the guys, yeah, I'm giving my one-day notice. I'm done.
So.
Yeah.
You gave him a one-day notice. Why?
That was nice of you.
Why not just leave?
Yeah, I'm not going to stick
around. Well, he had the scaffolding. He had to take that down.
A one-day notice.
Once I put him for a nap, that was it for him. I'm not going to stick around to hear anything else. So,
it was it for him and it for you, apparently. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's talk to Brandon on line four real quick. If I understand correctly, Brandon is the victim. He's the guy who was more than one time attacked by someone at work.
Sweet. Oh, Brandon. Need a new job.
What's happening, Brandon?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So basically, I used to work in loss prevention, otherwise known as asset protection at some places. And basically, fights were on the daily. They were a regular thing.
Daily?
Yeah. So anybody that we actually approached and apprehended for shoplifting doesn't want to get caught up for a stupid petty theft crime, so they'd either run or fight. And, yeah, I mean, you can imagine during the holiday season between Black Friday and, like, New Year's, I was getting into, like, three or four fights a week. It was pretty intense.
Wow, Brandon.
Three or four fights a week.
And there was no part of that that you thought, what am I doing? Like, why am I working here?
You know what? It's the thrill. And that's what it really comes down to for a lot of these guys. They're doing it for the thrill. I mean.
So was it other people always, or were you involved as well?
Oh, no. It was all male detectives, female detectives. I mean, there were brawls. I don't want to say the retailer's name that we worked for, but. Protocol and procedure usually calls for, you know, reasonable force to get them back to the office to basically prosecute them. But, you know, if it comes to throwing blows, then we do what it takes.
That's fantastic. All right. That's part of you. At that point, you go to work every day thinking it's likely somebody is going to throw a punch at me.
How bummed were you when it didn't happen?
You know what? There were days where we sulk and just be like, damn, today sucks.
All right. That's an unusual way to look at a day that you don't get in a fight, but I'll allow it. Thank you for the call, Brandon. Good call.
I got to be honest. I didn't see any of this coming.
No. Nope.
It's perfectly fine. Yes. Have at.
There are a lot of sports that get covered on ESPN. When you turn on the ESPN, you expect to see either Sports Center or you expect to see some sort of live sporting event for the most part, I would think. You want to see some football. You want to see some basketball. For many of us, baseball. But then every once in a while, maybe those aren't going on and you tune in and they're doing, poker or they're doing bass fishing. I mean, they got a lot of...
Oh, Lord, don't get me started on bass fishing.
They got a lot of...
the worst
hours.
Shows ever.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
They're so bad.
They cover softball sometimes, pool, competitive cheerleading. They have covered Scrabble competitions in the past. Cup stacking is another favorite of mine that has been on ESPN. Probably not on the main channel. That was probably on the Dose or the Trace or maybe as low as the Ocho. But I came across something the other day that was new to me, and that is, you know the spelling bees, Kevin. And I know how you feel about the spelling bees.
Sure.
This was a math bee.
Ugh.
These were mathletes.
Nope.
On ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you all please rise and applaud as I announce your starting lineup for the Math Pounds National Competition!
Nope.
Come on, now,
Alabama!
All right, so I guess if you
make... That's awesome.
Yeah,
I guess if you make enough noise, enough racket at the beginning, it sounds like something exciting is happening, right? If you just bring the energy.
I feel like the more boring the issue is, then the more you have to hype and yell and music and crowd going crazy.
So you heard him introduce Alabama. So then they went through all 50 states. And this is, I mean, there are hundreds of kids involved in this. These are middle school students who are there to do math. All right, so he goes through all the rest of the states down to the last one, which I think maybe is Wyoming or something, and then...
Welcome, athletes, coaches, parents, sponsors, volunteers, and guests. Give yourselves a hand.
This guy is working it, isn't he?
By the way, this might not be the time for this, but really... I think we've gotten enough use out of give yourselves a hand.
I think so.
Doesn't matter if you're at a concert, where you're at. I don't need to give myself a hand. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Back to you.
We're not there to applaud us.
Right.
All right. So then the host of the competition comes out, and he lays down a little bit about the prizes and about some of the rules.
So one of these mathletes will become the 2016 national champion and the recipient of the $20,000 Dinell G. Weinert's College Scholarship. All right, so the countdown round competition is a single elimination bracket tournament where the top four seeds will have a bye in the first round. I will read a question while it is being projected on the monitor in front of the students and also on the large screen for the audience. Students will have 45 seconds to solve the problem after it appears on the monitor.
By the way, I wanted to include that because in the time that I was watching, I never saw anyone use even 10 seconds of that time to answer.
Really?
So these kids have been, they come from all over the country, and they have already been pre-screened, and they just had a big written competition the day before, and these are the best of the best. They, I don't know, it was about 32 kids or something like that who are competing for this grand prize, a $20,000 scholarship, and a visit to space camp, by the way. So again, they're middle schoolers, and I thought it might be fun for us to see how we would do on some of these math.
Please. No need.
Look, no need indeed.
I'm terrible at math.
Same.
But I have to tell you, I didn't even understand the questions that they were being asked. And these are 13-year-olds, and let's see how they do.
If A star B is defined as A times B plus 3, what is the absolute difference between the quantity 10 star 11?
What? 6.
6 is the correct answer.
Okay. What did he even say?
I know, right?
Did you edit between the question and the answer?
No, that was how fast he came up with it. Let me see him. Let me go back. I can go back and play.
Yes,
that
please.
Again here. And by the way, these kids are up there with no calculators or anything like that. Let me see if this is the right spot.
Six is the correct. If A star B is defined as A times B plus 3, what is the absolute difference between the quantity 10 star 11? Edward.
Six.
What?
So Six is the correct answer.
Was he even finished with the question?
I don't even know what the question was.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was like when you're watching Jeopardy and you read faster than Alex is reading. It's the same thing, except these are equations up on the board. So he got that one. Let's see what else we got.
Todd tells Juanita that he is thinking of a three-digit positive integer.
7.
The integer has 12 positive factors. The sum of two of its factors is 23, and the difference of those two factors is 1.
9.
132.
132 is the correct answer.
What is happening?
Oh, again, these kids are like 12, 13 years old, 14 maybe.
Maybe this is fake.
No, it's not. It's not fake, and it's not edited.
It's hard to believe anybody's that good at math. Positive integer that is divisible by 2, 3, 4, and 5, and is also a perfect square, perfect cube, fourth power, and fifth power, can be written in the form a to the b for positive integers a and b. What is the least possible value of a plus b?
Cube.
Apple.
Alex.
90.
90 is the correct answer.
I would never have come up with 90.
Well, who would?
What's happening here? What language are these kids speaking?
I don't know.
They're speaking I'm never going to get a girl language. That's what they should make the grand prizes. When they turn 18, they are guaranteed one date.
Okay.
Now, Kevin, I was
thinking about you, Kevin, when I was watching this, and I was thinking that all you would be doing is making fun of these nice little Asian and Indian kids. And by the way, they were all Asian and Indian kids. But then I was thinking, thank God for them, because one day we may want to go to Mars. We may want to build the Hyperloop. There's a lot of things these kids are going to be able to do that would never be done in the world if it weren't for them.
But I'm saying, what won't they do? And that's date a woman, so why not take
increasing sequence of integers, a sub 1, a sub 2, a sub 3, and so on. The median of the first k terms is precisely k for each k is greater than or equal to 1. What is the value of a sub 2016?
A sub spades.
A sub spades.
Alex.
4033.
I'm sorry, that is not the correct answer.
What? What? Kill him!
Ben.
4031.
4031 is the correct answer.
Fall on your sword.
So Alex is a dick, right?
Right.
So there you go. There's your ESPN math bee. So congratulations to the winner, by the way, Edward Juan. He goes to Lakeside Middle School in Seattle. So he is 13 years old. He won over 100,000 people participated in the local and state competitions leading up to that championship in Washington, D.C. over the weekend, by the way. So he won. So you're right. No girls, but he does have $20,000 for college. Yes, won. That's correct. Two more chances for you to win coming up between now and the end of the show to join us this weekend for the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2017, Saturday and Sunday at the Forum. Sold out. Got a chance in the 8 o'clock hour and another in the 9 o'clock hour. You know, it's the 5th of December now. We're getting very near to the end of the year, and we start to take a look back on the year that was. I'm very excited about some of our top tens that we have coming up. No more so than this one, because, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend DJ Omar Khan back in studio.
Good morning.
Omar has one of the strangest jobs in radio.
It is weird.
And that is that we come to him with the dumbest idea ever for a game in many cases or a feature that we want to do, and we say, Omar, whip up an intro for us.
Yeah. Make an intro. Like not too long ago, we did Morrissey or Morris Snow.
Absolutely. And I had to come up with something for that.
It's like, okay, you go do your thing.
Go Bon yes or Bon no. Go. You know? So.
And how tough is this for you, O? Or is it? Are you at the point now where you've done so many of them that it's just like riding a bike? Or do you really struggle sometimes with them?
So, for the most part, it's like riding a bike now. I kind of started getting in my groove maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Before that, I would sweat. I would have nightmares. Oh, yeah.
Then totally. You stopped caring.
Then I stopped caring, and then it was all good. Yeah. So, that has a lot to do with. I'm not kidding you, because I would overthink it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So once I start kind of like letting go and just kind of like letting it marinate in my back, in the back of my head, I would come up with something, and it hasn't failed yet. Yeah. And I have a couple of examples that I'm not kidding you. I wake up in the morning and I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. The morning of the game's going to be played in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So I wake up at 3 a.m. I was like, oh, the game's at 6:30. I know what I'm going to do now.
And you're just like singing it in your car.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
So
I'll hit Spotify and I was like, can I parody this? And sure enough, it'll work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I love hearing this behind the scenes. So what have you come up with now?
Well, first, this is the top 10 Omar intros of 2007. The top 10 Omar intros.
You put a little more work into your stuff than you do ours. Is that true?
I think so, yes. Right. Absolutely.
Could have done without the fart, though.
At number 10, we did a game called Famous Ella's for Coachella Weekend 2 tickets.
Right.
And, of course, you guys made me do Rihanna's Umbrella.
Sure.
Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Right.
So here's me doing my best Riri impression.
You'll see Radiohead at Lady Gaga! It's a time you'll remember forever. Come on, win some tickets for Coachella.
What I like best about Omar being the guy who does these is he really can't sing.
Yeah, for the most part. But, you know, there's some that I do not too bad. This one, we did Gotta Have Cape. And I Gotta Have Cape. And it was for Lumineer tickets, but we're doing questions about capes. So I'm
like
not sure.
Superheroes?
I have
it. Sounds like a superhero contest.
Were they playing Cape Town? Was that it?
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what
that's
it
still
is.
Still a terrible idea.
But here's my best George Michael.
Baby, you want to see the Lumineers because they are music to your ears. Well, I think we could help. Maybe you can answer a question about a cape. Come on and don't you hesitate. It's up to you because you got to have cape, a cape, a cape.
Yeah.
And that's number 9?
That's number 8. That is number 9. At number 8, we have Bon Yes or Bon No. And this is tickets to the U2 Experience. They just came out with a record. And this was for an opportunity to listen to the new record with the band.
Right.
So we decided to do this. And I think my background singers on this were ultimately what won me over. And that's why it came in at number 8.
Bon Yes or Bon No.
At number 7, we were giving away tickets to Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, so I came up with this for Disney Princess Hits.
We got tickets to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And you can score your tickets to this place on Earth 2. You have to know your Disney Princess Hits. You gotta know Disney Princess Hits. You gotta know.
You guys get it. At number 6, we were giving away tickets to the Weenie Roast, 4th row, and we named this game Foreplay, and I decided to get a little sexy with it, so this is what I came up with.
Nope.
Weenie Roast is what you want, baby. The seats in the 4th row, come work for them. Don't be lazy. Yeah. Come on, you wanna get into my fiesta? It's time to get a little dirty. And Nesta.
Foreplay, we're talking foreplay, baby.
I do
not need to see you rubbing your nipples while playing that.
No. He was getting down.
If you don't mind.
Maybe I'll make a music video to that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
At number, number five, we were giving away tickets to WWE, and we decided to play the theme songs for each wrestler, and we called it Game of Themes.
Tickets to WWE. Game of Themes. Game of Themes. Game of Themes. Just guess the wrestler's name.
A little Hulk in
that. I like it. Little Hulk in that.
Take a look at the top 10 Omar intros for the year.
At number four, this is probably my favorite bit of the year. It's a new bit, and I came up with the intro for Great News, and that's why this comes in at number four.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for
Love
that one.
For that one, I actually tried to do like a rap version. And like,
do you have that?
No, I don't have that.
Too bad.
Yeah, this was probably the third try. And I came up with that. Yeah,
because I love that one. Yeah. I think that's great.
Thank you very much. I was trying to come up with something and I was just not happy. And I just typed in, I have this program where you just type in different genres. And I was like, let me just type in jazz and see what I hear. And I heard this and it really spoke to me and it just, it just kind of flowed. Number three, we did a game for the pay-per-view for Mayweather and McGregor earlier this year. And I just yelled out the name, Punch Out! And we called it Punch Out, and that's the only reason we call this, and I think it's a very funny intro.
Aww, Punch Out! Boxing! Movies! Punch Out! Punch Out! Punch Out! Punch Out!
Strong.
That's funny. So you know how we're talking about the things that come to me when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect example of that. So we were doing a game for USC. Know Your Alumni is what you guys told me to come do the intro for.
Okay.
And it was basically trivia of USC alumni.
Right.
So I couldn't come up with anything. I was like, Know Your Alumni, that's tough. And I wake up and I'm like, we got to parody Afromance because they got high.
Obviously.
Know Your Alumni. I don't know how I came up with that. And I Spotify'd it in bed. I was like, this will work. Yeah.
I wish you guys could see Omar's eyes right now. It's magic. He's describing magic.
Because that one, specifically this year, I was having so much trouble with. I couldn't come up with anything. And I think it turned out pretty good.
We're talking USC football. Know Your Alumni. You want to go see a game? Know Your Alumni. To win the ticks, call up. And this is why.
Wow, man.
Know Your Alumni.
Yeah.
Know Your Alumni. Uh-huh. Know Your Alumni.
That's pretty good.
You know there's an A before alumni, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
How many, before we hear number one, Omar, how many little intro songs did you do for us in 2017? Do you
probably know? Probably around, I have 50, but I do probably around 60 because I don't save all of them. Some of them are like very quick and I forget to save them. Mm-hmm. So probably around 60.
Around 60?
Yeah. Right. Those are just intros for games, not like, you know, little alley stabbers or, you know, whatever. These are just intros for games. At number one, we actually have never played on the Kevin and Bean show. It was actually from the B Team podcast.
Ah.
But I'm not kidding you. It is mind blowing for people to sing this back to me. They sing this back to me when they meet me, or they call the Afro line and sing it. And when I get emails from the B Team, they'll write "squish" because it has a little sound effect, or they'll say "baby" because that's part of the song. So that comes in at number one. It's from the B Team podcast. You can actually check out the B Team podcast wherever you get your podcast. And this is the intro.
Come along now, take a ride with the B Team. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B Team.
Yeah!
The B Team. The B Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B Team.
Baby!
I feel like reading a lot of sexy Omar.
Yeah, man. You know, maybe I have to bring out more sexy in 2018.
Let's give it up for DJ Omar Khan, guys. Another great year of great work. Thanks, O.
Thanks, man. The top 10 Omar intros.
Oh, yeah. They come to you, guys, and they say, hey, we're from the city, and we're going to change the name of your street to Dick Street.
Oh, yes.
We just want to let you know that it's going to be Dick Street. Are you down with that, or do you throw a hissy fit like the people in this neighborhood in New Jersey?
No, I celebrate it.
Yeah, I
you like
do.
It, huh?
I make T-shirts, hats. Come join me on Dick Street.
What's going on is Ellsworth Street is a very popular and long street in New Jersey, and there's just a little portion of it, three blocks of it, that is named Dick Street for some reason. You know, lots of towns have weird things with roads and how they get named over the years and whatnot. So the city has looked into it, and they've decided that it makes it difficult for emergency service personnel to always know where they're going when they're called, because the whole thing is Ellsworth, except for this tiny little Dick Street. It's kind of hard to find. So they've decided they're going to change the part that's Dick Street to Ellsworth, so it's all consistent.
That makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
Sure.
And they probably wouldn't have a problem with it if it weren't Dick Street.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the report where they went into the neighborhood to Channel 4 New York to talk to some of the people who live on what is now Ellsworth and will soon be Dick Street.
It definitely is confusing. I'm standing right now on Ellsworth Street, but if I cross Howard Avenue here, this now turns into Dick Street. So the homeowners on Ellsworth are struggling now with changing the name of their street, but they want to know if they can change it to something other than Dick Street.
By the way, I want to say I'm personally offended as a man who used the radio name Dick Street for many years back in the 80s, and I had no problems with it.
Good name.
Now all of a sudden it's a bad thing?
People laugh when they think of Dick Street.
Living on a street that's the butt of jokes isn't what Kenneth Roman wants.
Not exactly a good name for a street, so they can name it anything they want, you know.
Oh, my God, really? I need every interview to be him.
Except for Dick Street.
Roman and five of his neighbors live on a one-block section of Ellsworth Street in Clifton, about half a mile away from the rest of Ellsworth. City leaders have proposed changing the name of this section of Ellsworth to Dick Street to make it easier to find in an emergency.
By the way, in 2017, I mean, I guess people are people and people love to have a laugh, but is Dick Street still something that people are going to make fun of, or we're no more mature now than we would have been 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago?
Dick Street's always going to be
funny. It's always going to be funny.
It's always going to be
funny.
The
show has changed. Okay,
there's no way we ever grow out of that as humans, right?
No.
Okay.
I hope not.
I don't like it.
Why not?
Because it's changed the address plus the name.
Rana worries that changing his home address on his driver's license and all of his paperwork will be a huge headache.
Okay, now, that's sort of legitimate, right?
Absolutely, sure.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, he thinks switching his home address from Ellsworth Street to what he calls a less than flattering street name will make his property value go down.
Now, is that true?
Come on.
In other words, if he goes to sell his house and the next family that comes goes, oh, great neighborhood, great schools. I love this house.
Yeah, great open concept.
Ooh, but Dick Street. Do we want to live on Dick Street?
I mean, pass.
Is it possible that there are people who would pass on that property just because of the street that it's on?
I think that's a very small percentage.
I would think, but... But who knows, right? I mean, there could be some people who just wouldn't. So I don't know if that'll fly or not.
So I don't want to screw up my life.
Turns out people...
I don't want to screw up my life, he says.
Really changing people. He
may be overreacting, by the way, to screwing up his life if they change his street name.
Turns out people have had reservations about the street address for decades. Samantha Trella's grandfather, Lou, was the developer who built most of the homes in this neighborhood. But when it came time to build his own home at the corner of Howard and Dick in 1955...
The story goes that my grandmother did not want a Dick Street address, and so we have a Howard Ave address.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon.
All right.
This has everything.
This neighborhood. I now need to move to Dick Street. I want to talk to that guy that they interviewed first.
Yes.
I want to talk to this guy with his pet falcon. What is happening in this neighborhood in New Jersey? Let's all go to Clifton, you guys.
I'm in.
John Sedlak, seen here with his pet falcon, says living on this street isn't as embarrassing as everyone thinks.
That's just the weirdest thing to just randomly mention in a news report.
How about, sir, could you put the falcon down so we can talk to you?
Absolutely not.
Why does the falcon have to be a part of this?
Because this. He has thoughts, too.
I know
too.
People yes. that are named Dick, or their name's Rich and they're called Dick, so.
There is a city council meeting here.
Great soundbite. Definitely worth keeping it.
I know people named Richard or Dick, so.
So his...
That's his contribution.
Is the unfinished remark, so it's cool?
So, you know.
Embarrassing as everyone thinks.
Well, I know people that are named Dick, or their name's Rich and you're called Dick, so.
There is a city council meeting here in Clifton next week where they will vote on this issue. It's also worth pointing out that we used a GPS to get here to Ellsworth Street today. It did guide us to the right spot, and we did not get lost.
Yeah, GPS.
Clifton,
okay,
New Jersey. I'm Jen Maxfield, News 4 New York.
Okay, if the GPS got her there, fine.
Right.
Doesn't emergency services, wouldn't they be using GPS too?
And you would think the most updated, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, you would think they would have whatever's necessary.
I don't know. We need to go back to the guy with the falcon.
Yeah, we really do. So. And we got to go to Clifton, New Jersey, apparently. That's all there is. Dick Street forever. Actor Paul Scheer joins us this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. And Jim Rome going to be talking sports coming up. By the way, Dr. Drew is on with Kennedy tonight on the Fox Business Channel.
All right.
Remember Kennedy? He used to work on our show all those years.
Sure.
She has a very popular show on Fox Business. She's never had Dr. Drew on as a guest before, but that's going to change tonight if you want to check that out. I saw this list yesterday, and these pop up from time to time. I get the sense that there are a lot of laws on the books in this country that nobody gets around to taking the time, because they're not enforced anyway, so they just don't get around to taking the time to take them off the books.
Right.
But this is a list I think you guys will find interesting. And I am also curious to see how many of these you two have been guilty of. Kevin and Allie, I'm looking at you.
I'm going to say all.
Not together, though. I'm not asking if you're guilty of them together, but just individually in your lives. Are you guilty of these unusual sex laws?
These are weird
sex laws.
Tai Ming.
Try it again. I'm ready.
Tai Ming. Are you guilty of
these are weird
sex laws?
For instance, in the state of North Carolina, pretending to be married in order to share a hotel room. Isn't it quaint to think that anyone would pretend to be married to check into a hotel together? Like, could anyone possibly care behind the desk? Or are there still places in the 21st century where they won't rent you a room unless you're married?
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that they would go through the hassle of trying to check when they're just trying to make a buck.
Right.
Exactly. I wouldn't think so either. In the state of Nebraska, you cannot get married if you have gonorrhea.
Well, that's just good business.
Kevin, did you check? Do you remember? Was there any sort of a check there before you got married? Or
no, there was no gonorrhea question.
New Jersey.
I want to clear that up. I don't have it.
In New Jersey. Now, tell me how it's possible this ever existed. Flirting is illegal in Haddon Township, New Jersey.
Flirting.
Where do you...
Did that used to mean something different?
I don't
or
think so.
More extreme? Or?
I mean, are you just not allowed to, you know, chat up a young lady? Apparently.
Guilty!
In Colorado, and this one should be a law in Minnesota if you've been following Senator Franken, it is illegal to kiss a sleeping woman. Illegal to kiss a sleeping woman.
I mean, at least you can see what they're trying to do with that one.
Yes. Yes. In the state of... These, by the way, are weird sex laws.
These are weird
sex laws.
In the state of Texas, and I'm looking at you, Allie, it is illegal to own more than 6 vibrators.
Well, that's insane. Guilty!
Do they have a raid?
Why?
Or they knock down your door and they run in and check?
And why six?
Why?
Exactly why six? How can I ask this question? What is the appropriate number, Allie, to have a wide range of tools available?
I mean, it depends on what you're going for.
365?
Depends on what aspect you're trying to achieve.
Okay.
With your stimulation. I say three, you're good. Two, if you spend a little extra.
Okay.
One, if you just get one of those massagers. Know what I'm saying? Magic wand, who's with me? Give me a call.
In Illinois, it is illegal to kiss a reptile.
Guilty!
Kevin.
Why this law exists, I don't know. But, I mean, I certainly would be guilty of that. When I had turtles, I would kiss them on their little heads.
Oh, right? Those poor turtles. God.
In Kentucky, it is illegal to marry the same man more than three times.
That's just good business sense again.
You think so? Minnesota, it's against the law to have sex with your wife if your breath smells of garlic, onions, or sardines.
Illegal?
That's illegal. Law? Yes, that is a law in the state of Minnesota, yes.
So you could be arrested.
Yeah.
I assume it would be your wife arresting you. A citizen's arrest.
Right. Yes.
We just breath. Had Italian food, and right. I would like my husband arrested.
The flip side of that, in Iowa, it is illegal for a husband to take more than three gulps of beer while lying in bed with his wife.
I mean, can you drink? You know how that goes.
Can you drink the beer before you get into the bed? It sounds like they're very specific about where the beer must and must not be drunk.
No chugging in bed.
All right, a couple more here. This one is weird, and I don't even understand completely how this is a weird sex law.
These are weird
sex laws.
Tongue splitting may only be performed by a licensed medical professional in the state of New York. Tongue splitting.
I think that's important anywhere.
I would hope so. Yes, yeah. That is not a job that should be left for amateurs. Now, these are people who get a piece of their tongue carved out so that it looks like a lizard tongue. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, just
here?
A line right down the middle, so it just shoots out.
You guys watch The Strain? You ever watch that?
Yeah.
It takes place in New York?
Yeah.
Do they
tongue
have that?
Thing?
Yeah.
They have that?
Yeah, they kill you with it.
And one more, and again, this must have been written for a very specific circumstance. In Newcastle, Wyoming, couples may not have sex while standing inside a store's walk-in meat freezer.
What?
A law made for one person.
Well, I hope two, but it does sound like it, yes. These have been weird sex laws.
These are weird
sex laws.
All right, so we've got a crisis situation here, and I'm glad to say that our lines are filled with people who are going to help us decide this once and for all. I don't know why it came out of the blue last week, Allie, but I believe it was you who introduced the topic in the room off the air.
Yeah, I was actually eating string cheese, and I was just peeling it as humans, correct humans, Americans, I'll just say that, do. Just peeling into strips, eating the string
cheese. In other words, treating string cheese like the product that it is, which is string
exactly,
cheese.
Exactly, exactly, okay. Bean. Thank you for clearing that up. And I believe it was Ralph. He's like, what are you, a three-year-old? Just eat the cheese.
Yeah, just eat it. I'm a just eat the cheese person. Just put it in your mouth and eat it.
No, you're not.
No, why?
You're not really
why
saying that seriously.
Then,
just eat it.
That's mozzarella cheese. There's no fun in that.
How much
string
fun?
Cheese, you
how much
peel it.
Fun
you
do you
string
get
it.
Peeling cheese.
A lot of that's, fun.
Really?
Yes.
First of all, you get a lot
define
more
fun.
Well, you get a lot more cheese out of your string cheese if you peel it, if you eat it that way,
you
rather than just...
You don't get more cheese,
it's actually the same amount.
It's the same amount, Bean.
But it seems like more... Okay,
it does seem like more.
It seems like more because you get way more mouthfuls of cheese.
Agree.
And
just eat the cheese.
No.
You just eat it.
No, because then you're
whatever
like...
Food
with the cheese when you should be... Meow, meow. Peeling it.
So, Allie, it says to me like you and I and as you said, all heroic Americans are peelers.
Yes.
And Kevin and Ralph then would be biters.
That's why it's string cheese. It's not mozzarella cheese. It's string cheese.
I understand that.
Made to be strung.
Right.
Stringed.
But how many strings do you need to pull off of that cheese before you finish off that?
And that's a fun game, Kevin.
It's
thanks
not a
for
fun
asking.
Game. Define fun.
You could see how thin you could peel it.
I peel as many strings as possible.
Yes, me too.
I like to make like 60 strings off of my cheese.
Yes.
You guys are pathetic.
Because
you should do something that's actually fun.
It is fun and it's delicious. And it's using the product for the use that it was intended for. So you're an animal.
Yes.
If you just bite into string cheese, you are an animal.
And Ralph started yelling so loud and he got so angry and then I dropped it. I dropped it on the ground.
You did drop your cheese.
And Kevin laughed harder.
Yes, because you know what you should have done? You should have just eaten the cheese. Then you wouldn't have dropped it.
We're gonna settle this in a moment at 1-800-520-1067 with our listeners that are on hold. But Kevin, just recapping, what is the we've explained
the
a lot.
Cheese.
We've explained Allie and I have explained all the advantages to eating it the right way. Give me the advantages to eating it the wrong way. Are you in some sort of hurry?
Yes, I'm always in a hurry. Always, yes.
So is it just,
of course.
I'm just going to shove as much food into my mouth as possible?
And then keep moving. That's how you live life. You take whatever food is in front of you, you shove it in your face, and you keep moving. You walk on.
Walk.
That's what you just walk on. Look, I forget food, so when I have it, I got to put it in there right away.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Wow. Let's do a Kevin and Bean scientific survey and figure this out, shall we?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
The lines are filled. We had them call before we discussed the topic, so there's no bias. When the callers who are on hold dialed in, they did not know what the topic was going to be. So we're going to be getting their first opinion as they've heard the discussion.
All right. But before we go to the calls, none of this BS leading question that you do, Bean, like, oh, are you a right-thinking American? That's BS.
Well, no, they've heard the discussion. It doesn't matter how it's framed. They know that the question they're going to be asked is, are they a peeler or are they a biter?
Okay. Eat the cheese.
Just peel the cheese back and enjoy the cheese and use the cheese the way the cheese was intended to be because it came from God. All right.
Cheese is fun.
Let's start with Molly. She gets one vote. Hey, before we talk to Molly, though, what is the deal? So is it first to three, right? First to three determines for the world whether it's okay to bite cheese or not, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
No, to bite string cheese, right?
String cheese. Okay. All right. Molly, you've heard both sides of the argument. Are you with me or are you with Hitler over there? Hello, Molly.
Gone.
So did we lose?
So that's a just eat the cheese. All right, I'll put that down.
All right, let's get somebody else to replace Molly as one of our jurors. Let's try Matthew up next in Fullerton. Hi, Matthew. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning.
All right, string cheese. What say you, sir?
I would have to say I am a biter.
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 I go all in. Yeah.
Biter. That's how you do it. Yeah. You got other important things to do. You don't want to spend all day eating your string cheese. Having fun.
Matthew, I'm sad that you're listening to our show. I didn't realize we had people like you out there. Makes me a little disappointed, but thank you for the call. We will put down one vote for biter. Let's try Jose up next in Pomona, please.
All right, Jose, hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Biter, stringer.
Biter or peeler?
Peeler.
Peeler, and Kevin is exactly what's wrong with America.
Thank you.
I agree. 100%.
You don't have to shove every piece of food down your throat. Just enjoy it a little bit.
No. Right? I got stuff to do.
String cheese and peel it or else the terrorists win.
Yes, exactly. And John McCain is not a hero, according to Kevin, right? Is that right, Jose?
All right.
That's right, Kevin.
Okay. Hold on. Explain to me how the terrorists win.
Never mind. We got to move on.
All right.
We're very busy. All right. So we're one to one right now in the scientific survey. Let's see what Curtis has to say. He's in Simi Valley. He's up next on line four.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, guys.
Help us.
I'm gonna go with you gotta string it. You gotta pull it apart.
Curtis, I have loved you for a while.
Yeah.
Well, you have to do that. But, I mean, you don't pour your fondue cheese on your bread. You
right?
Dip into the fondue.
Right?
You gotta string the string cheese.
There is a right way and a wrong way with all kinds of cheeses, Curtis, and I'm glad you recognize that.
You're a very smart man.
Thank you, Curtis.
Shut up, all of
very
you.
Very smart. Just you're a good man, Curtis. Cheese. You've won a new car. Congratulations. Thank you.
All right. 2-1.
2-1. Let's see.
Who better than someone named after cheese?
That's right. She is called Bree. Hey, Bree from Burbank. How are you, my dear?
Hey, good morning. Okay,
when you woke up, no, before you say anything, when you woke up this morning, you didn't realize that you were going to be casting a vote that could change the way America lives.
I didn't. Look at me now.
Okay.
First of all, Kevin and Matthew, you guys are crazy. It's string cheese.
Thank you, Bree.
I understand that's the name of it.
Cheese of cheese.
Say it again, Brie. I'm sorry. Kevin was trying to make sure that opposition could not be heard. Say it again.
No, if you want cube cheese, you buy cubes of cheese. But if you're eating string cheese, you peel it.
Obviously.
That's what it's for.
Is peeling string cheese your idea of fun?
It's an experience.
It's an experience,
Brie.
Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Right. I'm sorry you missed out.
Yeah.
Brie. You are awesome, and you are right, and you are a great American, and we thank you for calling the scientific survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
How's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Sorry, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, for good.
What's your name?
Is that really important?
It is if we're going to become friends. What are you doing for Christmas this year?
Probably go spend it with family.
Mind if I come along?
Not enough room for that.
I'm making fudge over here. I could bring that. Yeah, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Good.
Don't you just love Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
You making a Yule log or eggnog?
What's that?
You making a Yule log or eggnog? One or two?
Oh, two.
How's that going for you? I'm making something over here that looks a lot like a fruitcake. Can you take a second and tell me the story of the baby Jesus?
How the animals and all the wise men.
Yeah. What's up with all that?
I don't know.
Have a good one.
Thanks.
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going?
Fine.
What's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, don't you just love Christmas? My belt buckle is made out of mistletoe.
Why don't you shut the f*** up?
Hey, how's it going? Dude, how's it going? What's your name? Dude, what's your name?
Not now, man.
You like Christmas time like I do? Dude, you like Christmas time?
No, no.
You know what I call my penis? You know what my nickname is for my penis?
Excuse me?
You know what my nickname is for my penis? Jolly old Saint Dick.
I don't want to hear this, man.
Come on, it's Jolly Old Saint Dick.
Anybody there?
No.